I don't know. Your voice is kind of soft or deep or whatever.
Oh. Go ahead, Nittai. Yeah, go ahead. Anybody's hungry or is that?
I was just, actually this question came up on the way here.
Okay.
When I first got here 5 years ago, I was riding my scooter here out of Radhakund. Mm. And I stopped at the railroad track there. You know, you can be there for a half hour sometimes.
Yeah, just down here.
Yeah.
From Vrindavan.
Yeah. And this group of teenagers came, and they asked me where I was going, and I said, Radhakund. And the leader said, you don't know who Radha is.
And I said, Indian guys?
Huh?
Indian people.
Yeah, Indian teenagers.
You know Hindi?
No, I didn't know Hindi. The three of them spoke really good English. So
unusual. People around here hardly know any English. In this village, nobody.
Yeah. I was surprised. And, you know, I told him, I said, Radha is the queen of Raj. And he said, no, she's not. Chandravali is the queen of Raj.
There you go. You ran into Shaitya and Padma.
So we have
Shaitya and Padma, the anti-party, the Vipaksha Sakis of Radharani.
We had this big debate there. You know?
That's so amazing. The railway crossing, that was like a Don Gutti, and they stopped you. They wanted to see how much yogurt you were carrying on your head.
Yeah.
And how much ghee, and they're going to tax you heavily or throw you in front of the train, either one.
Yeah. I was just
a, yeah, Raj is like that. Yeah, there's a miracle around every corner. That's what I always, I mean, yeah, you're a long time ago. Anyone that stayed here a while, I don't know.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone who stayed in Braj a while has realized that there's a miracle around every corner. So what is your question after meeting those Brijvasis who are so adamantly presenting that Chandravali is the Ishri of Vrindavan? And she is.
Yeah.
She's co-Ishri.
Right.
But with her group only. She's a Yuteshwari. Ishri means in charge. She's a Yuteshwari. Yuta means group. Her group of girlfriends. And she's the Ishri there. With the totality of Vrindavan, obviously it's Vrindavan Ishri Radharani. And Jiva Goswami's whole book he wrote to describe what's briefly mentioned in Padma Purana and Skanda Purana about Radharani's coronation as the queen of Vrindavan, called Madhav Mahotsav. And it's all the demigods of the universe, all the ladies, all the female, you know, demigods of the universe, they come down, and Durga and everyone comes and they take part in bathing Radharani to establish Radharani as the queen of Vrindavan. So, as everywhere in the spiritual world, there are parties. A favorable party. Some people are neutral with us. He's okay. Some are very friendly. Some don't like us. And some are like, there's the tatasta, that's the neutral, then there's the surit, or the friendly, or the paksha, my own group, and the vipaksha. So that we have in the material world, even each of us, what to speak of in India and the different politics and groups. And it's there also. So in Vrindavan, even the Brijvasis, many Brijvasis in Vrindavan, they say, Ram is God, and they worship Ram. They live in Vrindavan, surrounded by Radharani, everywhere Radharani, 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 everywhere Radharani. But that's their sanskar from last life, their bhakti sanskar, their impression, and their predilection, their choice. So that's all there. I mean, this is the all accommodating holy dham. There's another mat there, back there, right below the mridanga. You can see it. Just get it. Same mat, straight. Yeah. So that confused you, that what they said? Or
no, I was just wondering.
You were making a comment about the plurality of plurality of favorites in Vrindavan.
I just wonder if there's a group somewhere of Chandrava lady.
Well, the thing is, you know, the whole idea of living in Vrindavan or visiting Vrindavan is to see Krishna and to see Radharani, have their darshan, first of their form, and then finally of their leela. And so that first, before you directly see Radha and Krishna, you may see their form, but then you'll meet their associates. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us in Gita Mala also. He took birth in the Boma Vrindavan Leela of Radha and Krishna. This is his writing in Siddhi Lalasa. And he became, took his Manjari Srup, his Gopi Srup, his Kamala Manjari. And was living in some kunja, Swananda Sukra Kunja, somewhere, and singing bhajans, Leela Kirtans, Guna Kirtans about Radha and Krishna's Astakali Leela, and going out and collecting Yamuna water. All this is told in Gita Mala. You know, that's a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, song books. Gita Mala is the book, and inside there's one group of prayers called Siddhi Lalasa. So in Siddhi Lalasa, this is what I'm telling. Oh, when will I take birth in Boma Vrindavan, in the Prakat Leela of Radha and Krishna, and there are my Manjari Srupas, Kamala Manjari, all these things. Pagalini says, Pagalini Gan. Gan means song. I will sing like a... Pagalini means mad person. Pagal Baba Mandir, Pagal. Pagal means Rasik Pagal. Was one great singer, was a devotee of Tadiyastan Sadhu, and he was a devotee of Banki Bihari. He died about 10 years ago. He's called Rasik Pagal, very good harmonium singer. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's singing these songs, and now he's a Manjari. He's taken birth from the womb of a gopi in Boma Vrindavan, Krishna's Prakat Leela. And he's grown up, he grows up there, because there's birth and all these things in Boma Vrindavan. Krishna and Radharani appear to be born in Gokul and Raval, and they grow up, and they move to Chatikar and Ral, and from Chatikar and Ral, they move to Nandagram and Varsana. So it appears that they birth and growing up and killing demons one-on-one, that's all happening in the Boma Vrindavan Prakat Leela. But in Nitya Vrindavan, I mean, Golok Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, Krishna's eternally Navayovanam, youth, Nitya Kishore, Prita Majori, 15 years old, Radharani's 14, and so many months, all that. So that, they're always like that, Astakali Leela going on. But when they come here to some material universe and show the Bala Vrindavan Leela, then Krishna is Gopal and the Ladus and all these things. And there in Goloka, there are Parakashtas. Parakoshta means compartments. Because everything is nitya. Every form of God is nitya, and every dham of God is nitya. There's unlimited, you know, there's ananta rupam. Anadamanatha Rupa of Bhagavan. So there in Goloka Vrindavan, in the Paravyom, in the spiritual sky, in the highest planet, Braja Gokul, Nanda Gokul, there's Gokul and there's baby Krishna crawling, and there's Mother Yashoda in that mood. And then there's Nandagram and another Parakoshta section, and Krishna's there, Nitya Leela going on. All going on in the same place. And Jiva Goswami describes the different parakoshtas. There's so many Yashodas, and so many Yashoda and Nandagram, Yashoda and Ral. Ral is a dham, a nitya dham, and a leela there. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna's leela is divided into three parts. We know Pogonda, Balya Pogonda, and Kaishur. That's in Nectar Devotion. But basically, it's 3 years, 6 months, 3 years, 6 months, 3 years, 6 months. All right? 3 years, 6 months, go cool. 3 years, 6 months, and Chatikar and Ral, they're right here on this road, you know, Chatikar Road. Chatikar and a little bit further, Ral, not Ravel, Ral. It's one of the villages on this road, right next to Chatikar. So then three years, 6 months there, and then they Radharani Varsana and Krishna Nandagram, 3 years, 6 months. So 3 years, 6 months times three is nine, and 6 months is 18. That's one. So Krishna was 10 years old, and then 8 is 12. 10 years and 6 months old when he left Vrindavan. Because he left Vrindavan on Trayodasi, of this month. There's Shiv Chaturdasi. So this month and Falgun month, Falgun, Akrura came from Mathura on the behest of Kans and instigated by Narada Muni and all that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He sent, King Kans sent Akrura on a new chariot, brand new chariot, and Vishnu Chakravarti says in the commentary that this was quite appropriate because you can't offer old things to Krishna. You know, you're a pujari. You always make fresh food. You know, oh, this is some leftovers from yesterday, Krishna, take it. Your wife gives you leftovers. You know, she cooks in the morning, you eat in the night, or next day, oh, you have your fridge. Okay, Krishna, Radharani has no fridge, and there's no leftovers. And this is, so here we don't, you know, husbands and wives aren't Thakurji. So then, and we offer new clothes. Oh, Krishna, I got this shirt I wore a few times. Hey, okay, you take it. No, you do that with your brother. Your younger brother, you give him your clothes. So everything new. So Vishnu says it's quite appropriate, by chance, that Kansa, he was thinking that Akrura, he'll be excited to ride in a new car. So Kansa just got a new handmade, you know, chariot with 10 horses and all that. And he said, hey, Akrura, you can drive my new car. And he thought he was like some, you know, a little kid or something. Akrura, you know. And he said, oh, wow, great. Now, you know, I get drive your Ferrari for the day, you know, big deal. And all he was thinking of, you see the prayers of Akrura on the way to coming to Brajagokul and Braj, and he's looking at, oh, I'm going to meet Krishna, I'm going to meet Balaram, they're going to embrace me, and they're going to ask me how I was, because he's their uncle. Because Akrura is the son of Nanda, of Vasudeva's brother. Okay? Akrura is his uncle, or his brother, or something. You know, they're very, like, because he says Uncle Akrura, he says uncle, and his chacha. So it's his brother, his father's, Vasudeva's brother, I think so, is Akrura. You know, it's a very close, you know, family. So he's thinking all these things, and then he saw Krishna's footprints, and he jumped and rolled in them. So he had no ego or no identification, or he wasn't excited. But he was thinking in his mind, and Vishnu reveals the mind of Akrura, and Sarada Darshan, he says, Akrura was thinking, this is very good. I Krishna and Balaram, they're God. I know they're God. Kansa thinks there's some boys that are going to kill him. I know that they're both the Paratattva. They're the Bhagavan, Swami Bhagavan. And it's only befitting they should get a brand new chariot to ride to the wrestling match, you know, in Mathura. So then he sent Akrura. So when Akrura came, he arrived on Dwadasi. He was fasting on Ekadasi. This Ekadasi we're fasting on? This is a Krishna book, huh? This Ekadasi is Falgun, Krishna Ekadasi, the dark time of the month. So now he came on Ekadasi, and it took him all day to get from Mathura to Dwarka. It's amazing. I mean, Nandagram. It's in Krishna book. Because he was in such ecstasy, he was stopping every 5 minutes. Oh, Krishna. So then he got to Nandagram, and then he was greeted, and he spent the night. And then it says in the 10th canto, he broke his Ekadasi fast the next day in Nandagram on Dwadasi. Then that afternoon, he took Krishna and Balaram on Dwadasi of this month, Falgun Dwadasi, which means today. Today is the fateful day. And from this day forward, this day, Falgun Krishna Dwadasi, you know, Shukla and Krishna, dark moon and light moon. Shukla means white. On this day, Falgun Krishna Dwadasi, the day after Vijaya Ekadasi, conch shells were blown by the driver of Akrura. Because they're auspicious. You begin a journey, somebody blows a conch shell, or you see a white cow with a baby calf. All these things are auspicious, good omens. So from that, they blew the conch shell, and then the gopis, that was the death knell. That was like a, you know, the bomb, the sound of the conch shell. So all the Brajagopis, they said, I curse this shank. This shank will never sound again in Brajmandal. This shank, this sound of the shank will never, you understand the conch shell? Shank. This conch shell will never be heard again in Brajmandal. So from that date, Krishna was it Falgun month, Krishna Dwadasi. Krishna Dwadasi, there's never been a conch shell sounded in any temple in Vrindavan for the aarti. Rupa Goswami's Govindaji temple, Damodar temple, Madan Mohan, Gokulananda, Bunki Bihari, etc., all Radharaman, no conch shell. Not once. ISKCON we do, because that's in Vidhi, that's Vidhi. That's called Vidhi. Shastra Vidhi, Niyam, Yama Niyam. It's in the Puja Archan Vidhi, before Arti, wow, conch shell, after Arti, conch. But this Braj Mandal and the deities of the six Goswamis, they're following Archan Marg. Sanatana Goswami was in charge of Madan Mohan. He wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas with so many rules and regulations. But at the same time, he didn't even follow. He didn't follow this one. Because that's the Bhav Marg, Bhav Vichar of the six Goswamis. Who are the six Goswamis? They're Mandaris, Sakis. So they're not going to breach the curse of Radharani. You know, Radharani, Lalita Vishak, and all the Ashta Sakis, Parama Precious Sakis are saying, no more conch. Because I inquired long ago when I stayed in Radhadamadar, long ago when I came to India, I asked these, how come there's no conch shell? Because I'm very observant. I was a Bajari for 4 years in Berkeley. And then, you know, like, you know, we all know about what's going on with the deities. But everyone's on the Pajari work or whatever. So they told me that this is the thing. And if you keep your ears open, you'll never hear conch shells. Yes, you hear around here and there, but not go around these temples on the Prikama Mark, no conch shell. You go to Radha Govindaji in Jaipur, Rupa Goswami's original, no conch shell. Artik, seven artiks a day, seven bhog offerings, all the things that, you know, that we know. But this little thing, no. Have you noticed? You were a long time here. You notice? So it's not, we're not, you know, wrong. It's not that ISKCON's wrong or something. It's, we're right. It's a vidhi, you know, it's the proper thing. And it's correct, the conch shell. But since I don't, myself, I offer artiks and to my Giraj and everything, but because I kind of identify with that whole thing, so I don't know, I don't believe Ainge ever used a conch shell. You know much about him, so
he
much.
Never used conch shell.
No, never. But when he went to offer Mangalarti for Radha Shyam, you know, because when in Rome, do as the Romans. And then you don't say, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to. Then it's an offense to Prabhupada, and it's an offense to those deities, because that's their standard. You know, they want that conch shell, and that's for them. So this a little bit of extra things from your initial question, but interesting.
Your question was harmless.
Well, it was answered. I was just wondering if
there's
a Chandrawali group in this area.
No, there's many groups in this area.
Yeah.
Because what I was trying to tell you is that I was seeing in your experience, it reminded me of you know, I was saying that when you live in Braj, the first thing that will happen after you live in Braj, you'll have darshan, you'll see the forms of Radha and Krishna during mala or meditation or any time. And then seeing Leela, that comes long later, because the installment of Kripa comes in degrees. So to receive darshan of Leela and have a spurti, like it's in Vilap Kusumanjali, Raghunath Das's Vilap Kusumanjali Savavali, to actually see the Leela in a deep vision where it lasts for a long time, you're doing seva, you're holding Radharani's feet, you're brushing lacti in her feet, and you're admiring the beauty of her toes and the radiance of her toenails, and Krishna's standing watching exactly how you're doing it because he wants to learn. All that whole scene, that type of gift is usually not given till bhava, stage of bhava. And that's high. But to see, have rup darshan of Krishna, that will come even lower, nishta and bhakti, ruchi, like this. And even if whenever. So but generally you'll have that. Then you may have darshan level of bhava. But in the spiritual world, you'll meet. I'm just saying what happens in Boma Vrindavan. You don't even have darshan of Radha Krishna's form. Maybe in your meditation, Bhaktivinoda Thakura was 12 years old. He had reached his full maturity. and grown up as a Manjari and singing and all these things, and had yet not rendered any service to Radha and Krishna for 12 and a half years. He's living in Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna. And then he didn't see first Radha and Krishna, their forms or their leelas, or do seva there. First he saw his guru coming down the path. Oh, one day I saw coming down the footpath Vilas Manjari and Ananga Manjari, maybe. Ananga Manjari is a Sakhi, but her name is Manjari. She's a Sakhi, and she's a Yuteshwari. She has her own eight Sakhis with her. She's a Yuteshwari. She has her own Kunja in the middle of Radhakunja, just like the other Asa Sakhis. There's Asa Sakhis, and then there's she. She's called, in Rupa Goswami's Gauranganadesh Deepika, he says there's two types of Parama Prashta Sakhis. One is called Varishta, and one is called Vara. Parama Prashta Sakhi Varishta and Vara. Vara means like very exalted, and Varishta means the most exalted. So the Varishta Parama Prashta Sakhis, the most intimate Sakhis of Radharani, are Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Champak, Ranga, Sudevi, etc. These are the next category, the Parama Prashta Sakhis, Manjaris. Manjaris are in the category of Pran Sakhis or Nitya Sakhis. There's five types of Sakhis. Nitya or Pran means Manjaris, Kinkaris. Ananga Manjari is not. She's right there in Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika. It says she is a Parama Prashta Varasaki. So she is a Yuteshwari, and she's on the top of a Nityananda Parivar. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Nityananda Parivar, the family of Nityananda, you know, his line, guru, disciple, parampara, whatever you want to say. Usually say Parivar, family, group. So then he saw Ananga, and then above Ananga, and above all the Manjaris, above Ananga is Lalita. And like in Advaita Parivar, on top of Advaita Parivar is Vishaka. And Vishaka, below Vishaka is Tulsi Manjari, who is also mostly called Tulsi Manjari, but also referred to as Rati Manjari. Rati Manjari means Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das was initiated by Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya is a disciple of Srila Advaita Prabhu. But even so now, there's that Manjari. So someone, if they were on Advaita Parivar, they say, oh, when will I see my guru, Manjari, and Rati Manjari coming down the footpath, you know, Vishak, to take you to Vishaka. So our leading Manjari would be Rati Manjari. There, it's Ananga Manjari. She's not really a Manjari, but she's going to take, she meets Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Kamala Manjari. Oh, what are you doing? Now, come along. Now you'll get a chance to meet Rupa Manjari. We'll take you to Rupa Manjari. And then you'll be further trained by her. And then you'll go to Lalita. And then you'll be able to serve the divine couple. So first you'll meet the associates. So you came. You're in Braj Mandal, so you met some associates. You didn't meet Radha and Krishna directly. But you didn't even meet Radharani's associates. You met Chandravali's. So maybe you're in Chandravali's party. You don't even know. You know. He told me, I've been visiting the Asa Sakhis, you know. So that means Chandravali's gown also?
Or? Well, he was wondering whether they were joshing with him or not.
Yeah, see, what I did last year, I went to America to get my visa. The day before, you know, because I have a few people who go on the parikrams with me. They wanted to go to Ritora, Chandravali's, and I didn't want to go.
Is that Chandravali's place, Ritora?
Yeah. And I prayed to Radharani, and I felt okay inside, you know. Yeah, we went.
Chandravali is Radharani's sister.
Yeah, right. But she's also a rival.
No, it's actually, it's like saying that my shadow is my rival. You know shadow?
Oh, okay.
Chaya?
Yeah.
You understand? You know, when you stand in the light or whatever, nighttime, there's some shadow, whatever, you know, the shadow is Chaya, shadow. The Vastu and Chaya. The substance and Chaya. So Chandravali, I think it's, you know, we're too much, you know, grew up with American boxing or something. And this side of the ring, there's this guy, and you know, on the other side of the ring, there's that. And the guy in the white trunks and the guy in the black trunks. The white trunks is Radharani, black trunks is the bad guy, Chandravali. It's not like that at all. Chandravali is, that's why her name is Chandra. Because Radharani, there's two luminaries in the sky, Bhanu and Chandra. Bhanu means sun, and Chandra means moon. So Bhanu Nandini is a daughter of the sun. Nandini means daughter. Bhanu means the sun. And her father's name is called Brishabhanu. And she's Brishabhanu Nandini, or Bhanu Nandini. And Chandravali is the moon, Chandra. So the sun and the moon, they go together. Lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. So Chandravali is representing a particular type of Nayaka Bhav. There's 360 types of Nayakas, or heroines, lovers of Krishna, Sakis, described in Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami Pad. And although there's so many varieties of temperaments and moods, you know, Madhya Prakara, Bhamya Prakara, Dakshin, and all these things, but it narrows down that there's eight basic Nayaka Bhavas, the basic loving moods or emotional moods of the Nayakas, comes down to eight. So these eight, like you must have heard, everyone's heard, Swadina Bratrika. Swadina Bratrika means the mood where Radharani is controlling Krishna. And then there's Vasak Sajika. Vasak Sajika. Vasa means, you know, Brijavasa. Means Radharani goes to the Kunj and she waits for Krishna, Sajika. She's waiting for him. And then she's looking, she's hearing that sometimes Krishna waits, usually Radharani, because it's a Nayaka Bhava. So Chandravali represents a particular type of Nayaka Bhava, but that the origin of that, all the Nayaka Bhavas, is Radharani, Prainsrup Radharani. So Chandravali is nothing but Radharani. Just like your shadow, your chaya, your shadow is nothing but you. It's inseparable. You can't separate the moon from the sun. The moon is Chandravali. The sun is Bhanu Nandini. Bhanu means sun. The night, day and the night, the moon are always together. Chandravali and Radharani are always together. Krishna finishes with Chandravali, immediately goes to Radharani. Finishes Radharani, immediately goes to Chandravali. And both know it. And nobody's putting landmines in front of, you know, Chandravali doesn't come and put landmines in front of Radharani's kunja and all. Krishna walks up, you know, there's no, you know, RDX or anything like that. It's just Chandravali, she represents the Dakshin Bhav, and Radharani represents what's the opposite of that? Bhamya Bhav. She represents submission and surrendering. That's Chandravali. But Radharani, that's her bhav. That's Radharani's bhav. She's the origin of it. But she expands to another Sakhi. The Kayavyuha expansion, direct bodily expansion of Radharani, is Chandravali. And not only body, when you say Kayavyuha, Vyuha means expansion, Kaya means body. It doesn't mean just gross body. She has golden skin like Radharani. She looks exactly like Radharani, exactly, practically. Her complexion is a little bit milky gora, because she's Chandravali. Gora, golden, fair, but a little whitish, milky. And Radharani is gora, fair, but a little yellow, you know, like top goldy, like, you follow? More on a richer yellow side. So, I like your question, it's a deep thing, but don't read so much. It doesn't, whatever they are, it doesn't matter. First, what you have to fix in yourself as an individual, you know, from your Adunika sanskaras or Prakatana. Prakatana sanskaras are from last life. You met some Rasik Vaishnava or some Raghunuga Bhakta, and he put inside of you the desire to love Krishna as generally Manjari Gopi of his Gaudiya, or whatever. And then, so that's called Prakatana. That means long-standing, old, last life. And you take birth, and then you'll immediately gravitate towards these type of things. Gopis, Radharani, this, all these things. Because you have those sanskaras given to you by a devotee. That's called prakatana. It's in Jivadharma. It's also in Sandarvas. It's praktana or something. P-R-A-K, praktana, and adunika. Adunika. That means new. It means, it's easy to remember. Adunik, ni means like new. Adunuka, adunika. That means this life. This life, you meet some advanced devotee, you meet somebody in a Krishnamalam temple, and you become fast friends, and you work together, and he's totally in the Gopi Bhav, and he's always reading and talking. And all of a sudden, you know, if you didn't have any interest or attraction automatically that way, it would come into you. So his Stai Bhav would come into you. So the point is that either from last life or this life, you will establish in your heart, your spiritual heart, your spiritual, your persona, that I want to love Krishna like this, like Sakhi Manjari, etc., whatever. So therefore, that's unchangeable. No matter who you meet Chandravali. It's like, oh, I went to Delhi and my friends were wanted to take me there. So it's okay. That's fine. It's not just like somebody may take you anywhere. Your relatives may pick you up in New York and try to make you like a non-devotee, eat the foods of a non-devotee, or just, I mean, but you're fixed. I mean, if you're fixed in your identity, so okay, I'll eat a few hamburgers or something. No, you'll never do, because this is a new persona. This is called your abhiman, your mentality. So the same thing with stai rati. You're living in Braj and you met some average Vasis that were saying, oh, you know, Chandravali is this and that, and then because you're a thinker and a philosopher, and you're trying to put all three faces of time together. That's what a philosopher does. He always deals with the past and the future and the present, and tries to understand as much as he can about. This is one of the five shaktis of Gita, the Kala Shakti, the Kala Shakti. So Kala means art. Kala means the time. So he's always thinking. There was one lecture Prabhupada gave in New York, maybe 2nd Avenue, long ago, 71. And he's saying, any intelligent man, he said, just like in our India, there's something called Bhrigu Samhita. Bhrigu Samhita is like a book, a law book, a Samhita, written by Bhrigu Muni. He's the Manasaputra, the mental son of Brahma. And he's in the Krishna book. He's the one that was sent by the rishis to find out who's God. Chapter 90 of the 10th canto of Bhrigu Muni. He went to Vishnu. He went to Shiva's his brother. Brahma's his father. So, he insulted. He went. You know the story. He went to meet Brahma, and he insulted his father. He said, oh, you know, why should I respect you? Who are you? You chased after your daughter. He was disrespectful. Mentally, he made a mental. He thought badly. He thought badly about his father, but he didn't speak anything. As a manasa aparad. He made manasa. With his mind, he made aparad. He just thought very badly. And Brahma understood it, that he's thinking like this, and it wasn't showing. And he was thinking like that, so he didn't show any respect, but he didn't say anything. So he made a mental, and you could say physical, by posture, he didn't show respect, but he didn't say anything. And then Brahma became a little angry. He was going to beat him or punish him or something. I'm a little forgetful, but the story is there. And the sages sent Bhrigu Muni out to test who is God. So then by his superior intelligence, he controlled his anger. Then he went to his brother, because Shiva's, you know, his brother, you know, Brahma and Vishnu, creation was Brahma, all that, Shiva. So then with Shiva, he spoke. He thought bad, he spoke bad. Because usually if you're thinking bad about somebody long enough, you're going to speak bad about them. It's very hard not to, you know. So then Bhrigu, you know, so he said, what is this, you know? And as soon as Shiva saw Bhrigu, oh, my brother, my great exalted brother, please. And he went to embrace, hey! Bhrigu Muni said, don't embrace me, you're all covered with ashes and those snakes. I'm afraid of snakes, you know. Okay, I'll take them off. I'll take them off for a second. No, which he never does, but by the way. But at any rate, so he insulted him, and Shiva got really angry. He just pulled out his trishu and he started, I'm going to kill him. He was going to kill his brother, Bhrigu Muni. And then Parvati said, hey, you know, relax, you know, cool down. Okay, you know. And put some ice on his head or something, you know, Kailash, Mount Kailash. So then he went to Vishnu, because those two Brahma and Shiva failed as gods, so they went to Vishnu. Vishnu is lying in bed with Lakshmi in Lakshmi's bedroom. And the king only goes to the woman's bedroom when he wants to be intimate, and, you know, like that with the wife. Otherwise, the king has his own separate bedroom and palace sometimes even. So he was directly in the palace and the bedroom of Lakshmi Devi. Right? And he's lying in the bed, and he's lying with his head on her lap. And Bhrigu storms in and kicks him in the chest. And from that day forward, every Vishnu and Krishnamurti has a foot of Krishna on the chest, and the Bhrigu Muni on the chest. Why? That foot on the chest is part of the Archan, the Stapati, in the book of Stapati, making murtis. You're making Krishna, Gopinath, and he's got Bhrigu Muni's foot on his chest. To glorify Bhrigu Muni? No. To remind you of Vishnu Leela? No. Because Vishnu is inside of Krishna. But what is that foot on Krishna's chest? It's carved into the Ashtadhatu, into the metal. You see? I don't know what they still do in modern deities, but old deities, traditional Krishna deities, they always were like this, the brass deities. It's a niyam, it's a law. So that foot represents that Swayam Bhagavan, the origin of all the Vishnu forms, and Vaikuntha and Bhrigu Muni, who met the origin of them all, Swayam Krishna, he is Bhaktavatsalya. Bhaktavatsal. Vatsal means motherly affection. He's so loving and affectionate for his devotees. Even when the Vishnu Bhakta, Bhrigu Muni is a Vishnu Bhakta, he worships Vishnu, not Shiva. Like, Daksha, the father of Parvati, he was a Shiva worshiper. And then his guru is Shukracharya. And then Bhrigu Muni is the guru of the demigods, Bhrigu, Indra, etc. So he, even though he kicked Vishnu on the chest, Krishna, Narada Muni, whoever, wanted that to be immortalized, Krishna said, Vishnu got up, "Oh, are you okay? I'm sorry, I didn't see you coming." He didn't knock or anything, he just ran in. The Shastras say my chest is very hard, and I know you're a saintly person. And one of the lakshanas of a saintly person is that his feet are very soft. His feet are very, very soft, you know, the bottom of his feet. Much softer than an ordinary man. And the rest of his body may be firm and tough and strong or whatever, not so soft. Generally, men's bodies are not soft because they don't have a layer. Women, by nature and construction, they have a layer of fat all over their body, just under the skin. I mean, more than men. So women, by nature, are soft. It's the nature. It's Krishna's arrangement. But the feet, Vishnu said that, "Oh, please forgive me, I must have hurt your feet," and he started massaging, bathe the feet, sprinkle the water on Rukmini's head, his head. So this is the incredible compassion of Vishnu and Krishna, Bhaktivatsala. Because I asked, I used to bathe Radha Gokulananda and dress them in Berkeley, same as in Boston, and Radha Madhav. Radha Madhav, Gopi Vallabha in Boston, I think so, Gopi Vallabha.
Yeah.
And then Radha Gokulananda in San Francisco, then they went to Berkeley. All three deities are all Radha Madhav, it's still there in my. They're all about this high, 21 inches. Mm-hmm. And they're all stocky, Radharani. They're all kind of, you know, healthy. Let's say healthy, not the skinny type of modern deities that have little tiny arms. They're like a healthy type. And all looking the same. They're all made by the same stapati. They're all made at the same time in 67 or so. And the Radha Madhav went to Mayapur around. But later, like 70 or whatever, in 1968, the DD came to maybe Boston, and then 69 or so, that same DD came to Berkeley. And Boston DD is very old, 68 maybe, like that. Maybe when Sathru Maharaj was there, I don't know. So we were bathing those DDs, and we saw that footprint. We always wondered, what is this? And when I came to here, and I found out from the Goswamis here. Just like we don't hear the conch shell in Vrindavan, you're a senior Vrindavan devotee. So then when I first came to Vrindavan, I see all the Krishna deities, no flute. I said, "Oh, these temples are so poor, they have no flute." And then I went to Radha Raman has lots of money, and he has no flute either. Or it's hanging off here or something like this. So, the flute's like this. You ever see Radha Raman? If he has a flute, it's hanging off over here somewhere. He's like this, or, you know, whatever he is, I forget. It's taken off his elbow. You ever see? Or it's not even there. And I asked about that, and they said, oh, no, Radharani steals a flute all the time. And Radharani is Vamshi Chori. She steals a flute, and we don't know, we can't find it. And it gets lost for weeks, and we find it, and we put it on his elbow. Because he knows it's going to get stolen anyway, so we want to help Radharani make it easy, you know. And so you're supposed to have a flute. Yeah, okay, that's rules and regulation, but this is Bhavijar. So the conch thing, or the conch, no Vrindavan temple, they build the conch, Radharaman, Govindaji is there. Or here, or in Kamyavan, and Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Govindaji, or in Jayapur, they don't. So you're having a nice experience. This is what it means to meet it. This is what it means to live in Braj, to have this experience. I mean, you're lucky because when Shiva came to Braj, he got beaten up. You met some coward boys, I guess. They're boys or girls?
Boys.
Some Brijvasi boys that said that Chandravali is the boss, not Radharani. And the whole conversation is about this. You know, that's what we're talking about. And so it reminds me that when Shiva, he wanted to see the Rasa dance, and then he came, you know, with all the snakes and Nandi the bull and everything. It's like, okay, you know. And he gets off and he starts walking up to Vamshivad, and he said, wait, hold it, you know. Brinda, Brindarika, Menaka, Murali, all the four gatekeepers, and they Brinda Devi has many services, but she's a gatekeeper for the Yogapit and means also the Vamshivad. So they were there, and of course Lalita, she's always the number one boss. Said, "Hey, where are you going? Oh, I want to see the Rasa dance. Oh, this is, you're full of Purusha Bhav. You're a male. You're an enjoying spirit. There's only Prakriti Bhav, only ladies here. Kinkari. This is all Kinkaris. This is Seva Bhav. Ashokadasika. Ashokadasika says in the five chapters of Rasa dance." Then the gopis are praying to Radharani. The gopis are praying to Krishna. Oh, please come back. You left us here in the Rasa dance and disappeared. We're searching for you. So then they said, and they say this verse is spoken by Radharani. Said, Ashok, we are your unpaid maidservants. Please return to us, your unpaid maidservants. Dasika, dasi means servant, maidservant. And that's generally referred to as the mandris. But this is the sakis, Radharani's praying. And Ashoka Dasika, Ashoka means pay, you know, no pay. We don't even get paid. We offer our love and receive yours. That's the only means of exchange. We're exchanging love. There's no formal relationship. There's no bonds of marriage, no ties of marriage. If our love brings us together, then we're together. If love separates, we're all dancing to the strings of prema. Prema is the controller here. Prema is dancing. Radharani is dancing to Prema. Krishna is dancing to Prema. And Prema itself is dancing. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this Shiva wanted to get in. So he met some Brijvasis. And then they said, no, you have to be a gopi. So he said, well, how do I do that? Well, you better go do some tapasya, heavy tapasya. You heard about the Shrutichari's. Shrutichari's, they saw Ram. They wanted to become gopis. Concerts, so he blessed them to become gopis. But then they went on and they performed austerities in Raganuga Bhakti. It's told in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. 60,000 years they're practicing Raganuga Bhakti. Many, many, many lifetimes. They met Ramachandra. Listen to this. Not 60,000 years. They met Ramachandra in Treta Yuga. Ram Lila. Danda Karanya Sages. Krishna's Leela is Dwapara. So from Treta and the end of Dwapara. So it's actually a couple million years. The Dandakaranya sages and the Shrutis for a long, long time, millions of years were practicing Raganuga Bhakti. Madhurya Maya Upasanam, worshipping in a mood full of Madhurya Maya of the Braj. And then they finally became. So Shiva, they said, you have to do austerities in tapasya. So then they took him to Mansarovara. Some people say Brahmakund or whatever. To Mansarovara. maybe in different kalpas. And then he did tapasya, then Yogamaya came, Vrindadevi, what do you want? I want Mantri Srup, so they gave him. Then he came again. So now, and this reminds me of what happened to you. Now he's in Gopi form. Gopi, he's not, no name yet, Gopishwar. He's just Shiva. Shivani. Shivani is the name for Parvati. Shiva and Shivani. Shivani is the feminine form. Like Ram and Rama. Rama means Lakshmi Devi or Sita. Sham, Shama. Right? You know these things. This Kripalu, he has a Shama, Shama, Sham, Dam. Shama, Sham. Shama, longing. So he's Shivani, no name, Shivani, just Mrs. Shiva, whatever, mystery. So they come, and again, Vrindadevi, Lalita, etc. Vrinda, Menaka. Where, okay, Acha, you're Navasaki. Acha, we never seen you before. What's your name? Oh, I don't know. Yogamaya didn't, he's thinking, Yogamaya didn't give me a name, gave me this form like I'm a Saki. Acha, would I speak? And Shiva's like embarrassed, and Lita's like pretty forceful. Okay, what's your father's name? You know, you're the daughter of what Gopa? Gopa. Who's your mother? What Gopi? Gopi. What village are you from? Anjankot or Rahuli or Chitra, you know, where are you from? Chitsoli? What village? I'm from Kailash. I'm from Kailash. And then, I can't say that. Because she named off all these villages, and we don't have any place. And he was thinking, I never heard of that in Kailash. You know, never heard of that. You know, there's some caves there and some valleys with Alakananda Ganga and Suraduni Ganga, different rivers. Don't know about that. Barsana, really? From Barsana? Yeah, where are you from? What is it? Hey, so who is this? It doesn't have a name, doesn't have a father or mother, doesn't know where she's from. You know, you're correct. I don't know what's with you. So they started slapping her. He said, I think. And then one sucky said, Brenda says, I think Kamsa sent some yogi. You know, that last yogi guy came dressed as, you know, dressed up as a horse and everything, and Krishna knocked him off down in Kesha Ghat. I was a yogi, and he turned into a horse, you know. So maybe those were Sakis, they turned into Brijvasi boys. So they started slapping him, ta 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 ta, and he said, ah, oh, wow. You know, and even though he had the form of Saki, he still had some Purusha, he had some ego, you know. Shiva's in charge of ego. Shiva's in charge of false ego, and if you have false ego, you do puja and worship Shiva, and then it comes down, you know, eventually goes. That's told it. This Sankarshan, your name is Sankarshan. Sankarshan, of course, an expansion from Krishna, ultimately. Then Sankarshan expands into Sarashiva. Sankarshan is called Sankarshan Ram. He's also named as Ram. So he expands into Sarashiva. Sarashiva is Vishnu Tattva. Okay? And he's on Mahak and Shiva Loka. Then Sarashiva expands into 11 Shivas, Gyara Rudras. Then one of those is the main Shiva. You know, the main Shiva of this world lives in this Kailash. And the other Shiva lives, Sarashiva lives in Mahakal, which is the border of Vaikuntha. You know, it's way up there. So Shiva still, he was getting like a little angry. Hey, I'm Shiva. You know, he's like, he said, come on, just take me to the residence. And he was beating him up. So I was thinking, you're lucky these guys didn't beat you up, you know. he's like wants to follow Radharani and the Mandri Bhav and Saki Bhav. And then he met some boys at the train tracks. And they said, oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Barsana to visit, you know, see the villages of the Asasakis and Radharani. Ah, what is this? You know, Radharani's not in charge. Chandravali's in charge. These are Brijvasi boys. And they were, but they didn't slap him or anything. But if, you know, look what happened to Shiva. So you got off easy, you know. So I'm Bhagavad Puran, you have a question?
If you maybe you don't, it's not that I'm calling you and you have to ask me a question. If you don't have one, I thought maybe you did.
I have a question concerning
Seva, Varshana Shila's.
Varshana Shila Seva.
Right. There's a Tadiya Shila.
Yeah, obviously.
Because I have my Giriraj is the lower Dan, and then Radharani and Anangamanjari are Varshana Shilas. And then I have 8 Govardhan Shilas that I worship as the Astasakis.
Okay.
But I was wondering, maybe they should also be Varshana Shilas too. Because Radharani and Anangamanjari, they're Varshana Shilas.
Yeah,
the only precedent is in the Bhagavad Nivas, that's where.
Well, that's your place. That is the place of the original Shila of Lord Chaitanya. That's what the old authorities have told me in Vrindavan.
Well, they have Govardhan.
They have one of them particularly, because I haven't been there when I was.
No. They had a few 10 years ago. Maybe they had 2 Govardhan Shilas, Radha Krishna. And then they had 8 other Govardhan Shilas that they're worshipping as the Sakis.
As the Sakis.
Yeah. But I was wondering, because my Radharani and my Anagamanjari.
Yeah. I don't have any, I can't really quote from what my studies, I can't quote Shastra
right, there's
to explain
not there.
This, because If we only look at Shastra, which is what we should do, and base all of our actions on Shastra, but there's this principle of Bhavichar, and also what we've received from our gurus. So there's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So we are simply small practitioners and sadhakas. So above our heads is Krishna and Diksha Guru. And Shiksha Gurus and the Sadhus, the elevated souls. We are all children and students, student class. So we don't have bhav, and we don't have realizations, but we may, so we are in a position to receive instructions and guidance from Shastra, Sadhus, and Gurus, most all along the way. So when it comes to puja and these types, what you're discussing, Govardhan Shilas and rocks. Shila means rock in one sense, literally. So rocks from Varsana. The principle is that Varsana, in Hindi, you know, they have gender. Different languages like French and German, English, they have gender, the language. English has no gender. There's no male words and female words. It's all you and it, and it's a very strange language in one sense. But Hindi, and I think Russian, as far as I know, Russian, most every language has gender, male words and female words. For example, most all trees are male trees. Creepers, they're mostly female gender. Okay. Mountains, almost all words and names of mountains are male gender, and rivers are female. The ocean, but the rivers are female, but the ocean, the Samudra, is male. And all those analogies are in Govinda Lilamrita. The gopis are running out of Yavat, like rivers rushing to the ocean of Krishna's love. So that makes sense, because Krishna's male, and the ocean, you know, the Sham Sindhu, the Sham Sagar of Prem, Prem Sham Sagar. Sagar means ocean. And Prem, you know, and Sham. So they're rivers. So now, that's one point of language, and keep that in your mind as I speak. Now, if we want to look at Shastras, we follow, you know, Hai Gosai Kori Charanan Vandan, Yahoite Vignanash Avishtaparan, that all the obstacles, doubts, problems we have in sadhana and sadhya. Sadhya means the goal, and sadhana means the practice to get there. So it's called, in Madhurya Kanamani, sadhana sadhya vibram, or rather brahm. Brahma vimohan. Brahma, not Brahma, but brahm. Brahm means illusion. Like they say in Hindi, kam, krodh, lo, moha, matsarya, brahm, like that. So moha means brahm, illusion. So we have illusion or confusion about how to practice sadhana or what is the goal. So the in the books, or books by the Goswamis, Hari Bhakti Vilas and Sandarvas and Vishnath, everything, whenever they're talking about Govardhan Puja, they're talking about Purusha Puja, worshipping Govardhan as a Purusha. Krishna's Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he gave the Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami, this is called Shastra Praman, the evidence and proof of Shastra. He told Das Goswami, he said, I'm giving you this Govardhan Shila. This Govardhan Shila is Brajendranandan Shamasundar. Brajendranandan Shamasundar. He said, Sakshat Brajendranandan Shamasundar. And like Krishna, like Purusha, like Bhagavan, you should worship him with Tulsi Patra. We don't generally offer Tulsi at the feet of the Shaktis, Lakshmi or Sita or Radha. Tulsi is offered to the, sometimes they put in the hand, but the intention there is, and the bhav there, and even the permission to do that, if the acharya gives that permission to the, if the guru gives that permission to the, that agya, water or permission to the disciple, pujari, yes, you can put tulsi in the hand of Radharani, as long as you're meditating that Radharani is offering that to the feet of Krishna, or that Radharani is going to use that to string in a garland, which she will offer to Krishna, which she does. She actually does. She makes garlands for Krishna, mala, and puts so many tulsi mantras there. And the 10th canto is describing that the mantra, the bees were hovering around the mantras woven into the garland of Krishna. So that this is the thing. So this is the bhav. But we, so tulsi, so Mahaprabhu said you worship Govardhan as Krishna, and you offer tulsi, and offer some bhog, some sweet, and bathe him. And other details of puja you can get from Sarup Damodar Goswami. So his whole life he worshipped the Govardhan Shila like that. And everywhere we see like this. And he is described by Radharani in Vainogit, in chapter 21 of the Vainogit, maybe verse 33 or 36. He says, when Radharani sees Govardhan, and when she prays to Govardhan, Radharani sees Govardhan as a male, Purusha. She prays, O Hari Das Varya. She says, this is in chapter 21. She says, O Hari Das Varya, Vara Sakis, best of, but not the best, super best. So, O Hari Das Varya, you are the best of the Haridasas, because Radharani has heard the Bhagavatam from Bhagwari Rishi and from Durvasa Muni, and she's heard the Bhagavatam from different sages coming here and there. So she knows in the Bhagavatam that there's three people that are called Haridas in the 12 cantos. One is Yudhisthira, in one shloka says he is Haridas. The other is Uddhav. Uddhav is described as Haridas. And the third Haridas is Giriraj Maharaj Ki.
Yeah.
So she says, you're Das, you're male. So Radharani is telling that Giriraj is Das, he's male, he's Krishna. She's saying he's the best of the servants. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Radha and Krishna Yuga, is telling that that Giriraj is Rajendranandan and Shamsundar Krishna. And he's instructing the guru of Prayojana Tattva, he's instructing the guru of Sadhya Tattva, and he's instructing the guru of Sadhana Tattva. The guru of Prayojana Tattva, which is the same as Sadhya Tattva, and Sadhana Tattva is Das Goswami Pad, and that's Raghunath Das. And Raghunath Das worshipped Giriraj as Krishna, and when Lord Chaitanya gave the Gunjamala, and Gunjamala, these small red and black berries and white berries, red and black and also white, it says Radhika Charanashraya in the Bengali. When I receive the Das Goswami speaking, when I received the Gunjamala from Lord Chaitanya, I understood that he was giving me shelter at the lotus feet of Radharani. So the Gunjamala is feminine by word, that berry, and it's presented to represent Shakti or Prakriti or Radharani. So Giriraj with the Gunjamala means Radha and Krishna. Now, this is what I see in Shastra. I don't see anything more than this. Now we have Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu. So what does my Guru tell me? So the Shastra says this, my Guru tells me this, then basically I follow that. So if we have we have a Sadhu or a Shiksha Guru who may be instructing me in bhajan, or different practices, and I follow him, and because it's a very, it's not in Shastra, but it may be all right also. You may not be, because the Shastra is not prohibiting it. There's two things in Shastras. Shastra is telling, you know, what to do and what not to do. But then there's a middle, there's somewhere in the middle. Because if you read the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you won't find anywhere there where Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna mantra in Sankirtan, loudly. You won't find one verse. And you won't find one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So those persons that follow a particular sadhu, acharya, guru, and a particular parampara, it's Nityananda line, but they're called Nitaigur Radhesham. You must have heard Nitaigur Radhesham, Chapari, they're right behind the guest house. They used to have a temple there, ashram. So they say, they, because this is the praman they find in Chaitanya Bhagavad and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they never chant the Hare Krishna mantra in kirtan. You must be knowing, huh? They chant in japa. Nitaigur Radhesham. I don't even remember what it is. Because here is mostly Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada instructed for the devotees in the Krishna Balaram temple to chant Nitaigur Radhesham Jaya Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they will be pacified.
That's a very loving mood of Prabhupada. I like this last statement you said, just to, that Prabhupada wants to make friends with everyone.
Who should be
pacified? This group?
Right, what he's referring to, when Prabhupada got the land in Ramanreti and built the temple, there was nothing around much. It was all jungle. I mean, I came here in 77 first time. Temple opened in 74. It was all jungle and big ashrams. Not jungle per se, but ashrams. And so, and now you can't find anything. It's all everywhere, high-rise buildings. But right behind, exactly right behind the Krishna Balaram guest house, there's a little alley there that goes in front of MBT. Behind there, on that corner there of that other street that goes down to, used to go to a wall, and there was like 5 acres of property in there with some one old Brahmin or, you know, guy who gave homeopathic medicine. Some guy we used to go there to see sometimes, all the devotees. This is a big piece of property. Now it's Bhakti Dham and this Dham and that Dham. There's hundreds of guest houses, you know, the whole thing. So they were the only ones back there, and they had 24-hour kirtan. Nidagor! With loudspeakers, and it was loud, and anyone who stayed in Krishna Balaram guest house, like me in 1977, can't sleep at night. And he would ask, you gave me a room on the back side, because they have rooms all around the place now, Krishna Balaram, front, side, and everywhere, directions. So I said, can I change to the front side? Oh, they're all booked up. And then I realized, those must be the smart guys that came last year. It was my first year. They, okay, we'll put this guy over here. I said, okay, so 10 days. I go already. So the point is that they're right, but they're wrong. They're right because they're following their guru and their line, and that's not wrong what they're preaching. But the Shastra, neither one of those books prohibits it. See, remember, Shastra will tell you directly you can do this and don't do this. But then there's something called a middle line. You follow? Do you understand what I'm saying? The Shastra is not saying don't chant Hare Krishna Kirtan, and the Shastra is not saying do. So now which way you want to go? Because what you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat is that Lord Chaitanya is chanting Nam Sankirtan, and all the verses are talking about Nam Sankirtan. And there's one shloka in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Nirantara Nam Lao. Nirantara Nam Lao. Nirantara means no end. Anti Lila end. That's simple. And Lao means to take. And Nam means, Lord Chaitanya is telling everyone, take the name all the time. Always chant the name. What name? He didn't tell. He just said, but it's understood. Because Lord Chaitanya, what did he mostly chant in kirtan? As I went through Chaitanya Bhagavat, he mostly chanted Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna Murari, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna Mukunda, Jaya Madhava Mukunda Vanamali. Vanamali means a garden, a forest, you know, Mali means a gardener, forest gardener, Vanamali, you know. Van means forest and Mali means like flowers and garden. Jaya Krishna Mukunda Vanamali, something like this. Murari. Huh?
Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari?
Yeah, that also. There's three or four different ones. So but Murari is there, Mukunda is there, Vanamali is there. These are there's three or four different mantras. You're correct. Murari is one name. But because I went through all the places where he chanted, and I found that everywhere he says Jaya Mukunda, Murari, and Vanamali or something like that. This is all Krishna Nam. This is all Prem Nam. It's all Leela Nam. So that's what he chanted. But Lord Chaitanya didn't prohibit anyone from chanting Hare Krishna. So the majority of all the Parivaras and everyone's chanting Hare Krishna Ma mantra in Kirtan. And they are the only exceptions. So all of the other Parivaras, Gadadhara Parivar, Advaita Parivar, Nityananda Parivar, they read the CC inside and out. They have their acharyas and gurus. They read the Chaitanya Bhagavad inside and out. And their conclusion is, there's no prohibition against chanting Hare Krishna and Sankirtan, and we all like it, it's wonderful. And this is a non-Sankirtan movement, remember. He says, you know, Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So then, that means we should just chant Sri Krishna all the time. Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna. Then you're almost one, about 5 degrees away from Vallabha Sampradaya. Sri Krishna, Sharanam Mama. Sri Krishna, Sharanam Mama. Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Sharanam Mama, Ki Jai. And we're so much analyzing whether to chant or not, but while we're analyzing, we don't chant at all. We have the Maha Mantra, it's bona fide, but you can't say it's bona fide according to Shastra. I'm citing this point, and it's not unrelated to your question, it's directly related, because I can't cite Shastra to directly prove that what you're doing is correct, and I can't cite Shastra to prove what you're doing is incorrect. So if we look at the lives of the sadhus and great acharyas, they do what you're doing. And you're following their lead in teaching. They're your shikshan gurus, they're your sadhus. They're correct. Just like all the sadhus are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Kirtan. All the acharyas. Even the Vamsacharyas, the Vamsa Nityananda Vamsacharyas, and those that are initiated in Nityananda Parivara, not from a Vamsacharya, but some other branches, Babaji's, Sannyasi, whatever. And all, wait, they're all chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Kirtan. That's the majority. So the majority, maybe everybody's worshipping Varsana Shilas as Radharani and Sakis, or Govardhan, or some people worship Giraj's Hari, Giri Rani. I met some sadhus in Gaudiya Math that are worshipping Govardhan Shilas, Giri Rani, Giri Rani, like a feminine aspect of Radharani. Fine, perfect. Your guru gives it to you. There's no prohibition in Shastra. And you have faith in that, and that's your ruchi. Not I don't mean stage of ruchi, but I mean that's your taste, your natural taste and your feelings. You have bhav. I'm not saying we have bhava bhakti, or maybe you do. I can't say. I really can't say. But we have bhav. So I had that article on my Facebook recently about. I was talking about about chanting Hare Krishna or something about how, you know, as we're advancing in sadhana bhakti towards bhava, bhava is also, we're rising, we're advancing gradually in sadhana bhakti to the stage of bhava, but simultaneously at the same time, you know, we're approaching the stage of bhava. We are approaching the stage of bhava by our sadhana practices, but at the same time, bhava is approaching us. And you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. That has many meanings. Just like it's Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. But it's not Kanishtha, Kanishka, and also now. You're a Kanishtha, but there's also some Madhyam. That's why they have a term Kanishtha, Madhyam. They have a term Kanishtha. There's overlapping. You're a Kanishtha, and you're also a Madhyam. And you're also an Uttam. You can be Kanishtha, Kanishtha Bhakta, Kanishtha, Madhyam Bhakta, Kanishtha, Uttam Bhakti. So that means you're a Kanishtha and an Uttam, and automatically, if you're at the top and the bottom, it includes the middle automatically. There's actually nine categorizations of a devotee. There's a Kanishta Uttam, and a Madhya Uttam, and an Uttam Uttam. We were discussing last time about hierarchy and different levels, and Brihat Bhagavatamrita, different levels of holy dhams, different levels of people got the mercy, different levels of devotees. You know, the Pandavas and the Yadavas, and then Krura, then Uddhava, and then Nanda Maharaj, and higher than Nanda is Yashoda, higher than Vasudeva is Nanda, and higher than Nanda is Yashoda, and then finally the Gopis, and Chandravali, and finally Radharani. This is Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So hierarchy, levels, step by step, levels. So everywhere is that. So I personally, what I've received from Prabhupada's books and what I've received from my study of Goswami Granthas and my sadhu and gurus is I worship very limited, simple worship. Radharani is Gunjamala and Giriraj is Krishna. But when I pray, because I asked this question to some of my teachers, and I said, well, because I heard many of these things over the years, and I didn't have my bhav wasn't my feeling, you know. And when I received the Govardhan Shila through Lokashranya, or what we call, calls himself Parvat Maharaj or whatever, Parvat Maharaj, and then he received from Gadadhar Das Babaji Maharaj, who received him from the Radhadamodar temple, that's the exact history. Gadadhar Das Babaji Maharaj, he died, he used to live over in Shringarbhat. He was very nice. He didn't have any teeth, but he used to lead kirtan all the time. And he lived over there. When you take darshan Radha Damodar, up there on the same platform, when you go up the stairs, right in front of the deities, on the left there's a little room. I think they have little murtis of six Goswamis in there or something. I haven't been there a long time. There's little tiny plastic murtis. They're all in a circle discussing Harigata. It's a nice thing. But that used to be his room. And he lived there a few years when Lokashranya was there, and then when the time when I first came there in 1989, he was also there for some time. Then he moved over to Shringarbhat. So he received the Shila from the Damodar Pujaris, then he had for some time, then he gave to. It's like this. So when I received from, you could say my, you know, whatever, Didi Guru, godbrother, I said, so, you know, what's the idea? He said, oh, you worship him as Krishna, like Krishna. So that's what he told me. Not because I didn't really think much about Giriraj. I was thinking about worshiping Radha Krishna just at that time, getting deity, finding deity, whatever. So when I met Gadadhar, because Gadadhar came to visit me, Gadadhar Das Baba, in my room, our Prabhupada's room, kitchen, and he saw his, you know, Shila. Oh, he's there! And I said, yeah, he's with me. Oh, that's nice. He was here. That's good. He's living here. And at the time, I didn't have any mukut. I just didn't have anything. I just had some Gopal. Little outfit you buy for Gopal, like Gopal Murti. Little round thing I put under and put him on top. Little chatter, you know, Josie the Brahmachari sannyasi, you know. No money. So then he said, hey, what's this? Where's the mukut? It's Krishna. What is this? No mukut. I said, okay, you know. Yes, sir. No, got him. So I've seen lots of different variations with this, and it's all very different and new to me. And it's not my particular bhav, so I can't comment anything more about shastras than what I've said and my personal practices I've told you. But if I don't exactly know what your question is, but far if it's about different shilas or different, gopis or radharani, whatever, that's your personal choice. I don't think there's no hard and fast rules anywhere told. Whether you want to continue, you know, make it consistent with. Your gopis being whatever, Radharani and your gopis all being Barasana Shilas, that has a certain consistency to it, which is what you brought up. Or if you want to, you know, mix and match and have a Giriraj as a male and have a few Girirajas as female, that I think that's your bhav, and that choice you can make yourself. And I wasn't even aware of the Bhagavad Nivas situation, which has been revealed to you, so you know more about it, your own question, than me. Frankly speaking, so I can't speak more about that.
Thank you.
If your dear Shiksha Guru was here, he would give you a very good answer because he was knowing and practicing this, and maybe you received that idea from him also. I don't know. That's your private treasure. I don't have that access to that. So, I respect it and honor it, and I think it's I believe it's correct. And certainly, if when you say that in Bhagavad Nivas, because when I went there long ago, my memory is not very good. But the main thing I was looking for, because I was writing my book, Prabhupada Radhadamodar, or no, some book, I don't know, whatever, Appreciating Vrindavan, and I had gone to the Gokulananda. I don't really want to record this because it becomes a little bit like that, you know. So, whatever, Krishna has many forms, and there's many of everything. As you'll see, if you go to Navadvip, for the last 350 years, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya is across the Ganga on the island of Koladvip, in what is called Navadvip City. It's on the island of Koladvip, and it's out there, 40-minute ride by rickshaw or so, as I recall, from the Ghat, Hular Ghat, or whatever they call it. And you go there, and you'll see a very beautiful place of Jagannath Mishra's house, all thatch and mud, and it's very nice, as I recall, long ago. And a very beautiful place, and birds everywhere, and nature and trees, and Nimai, and the neem tree, and everything, the whole nine yards, as we say. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas have been going there for 350 years, or 500, so many years, and worshipping that place. But then over the last 40, 50, 60 years, a new place has appeared as the appearance place, and I think everyone knows about that very well, you know, in Mayapur. So now there's two. And one is called Prachin, and one is called Navin. Navin means new, and Prachin means old. Navin Kishore. So you go to Gokul. There's two Gokuls, and they're both called Prachin. Vallabhacharya established a Gokul. Right, you go right across the Yamuna, and then the first street after you cross the Yamuna Bridge from Mathura on the buses, I've taken so many yatras there. You turn right, and then you go down, and it goes along like that, and then you turn left. But if you go straight, it goes straight into Gokul. And the big sign is Prachin, old Gokul. And the buses went there sometimes. Seven buses, and I was in charge, you know 400 Russians on the buses, and I was taking everyone on the Parikrama for the temple. And we get there, and the bus drivers take us there. He said, "Where do you want to?" I said, "I want to go to Prachin Gokul." Okay, we go there. I said, "Wait a minute, this is something different. This is," and all these Vallabhacharya guys are coming with bundis and everything, the Brahmins from Vallabhacharya, you know, the bundi thing. So he come. I said, "Wait a minute, this isn't Gokul. What is?" He said, "Look, this is Gokul. Here's a temple of Putana, and everything is the same. To Krishna and Balaram in the cradle, and Nanda Baba and big thing like this. But there wasn't any columns, these ancient columns, pillars inside the temple." I said, "Wait a minute, there's something fishy here." And I have these 450 people walking behind me. I'm blind. I don't know what's going on. And then I said, wait a minute. Because these guys are too, you know, slippery, these pandas. I said, "This is not Gokul." And on some Western guy telling this Indian Brahmin, "This is not Gokul." He said, "It's Gokul." He's right. I said, no, I want the... He said, "This is Prachin." And because I know what the word means. I said, "I want the Prachin. I want the Adi Prachin." It can only be one. Prachin means the one, the oldest, original, the word Prachin. So that's how they use it. So we got in the thing and we went down the street and got to where we're supposed to go. So it goes like this. So the same thing is, you know, there can be two of this and two of that. So two thumbprints of Lord Chaitanya, and two Sheilas of Lord Chaitanya. That's what I'm trying to say. Because when I went, what is his name? Gopal Chandra Ghosh from Vrindavan Research Institute. He's a Nastic Brahmachari his whole life, never married, pure Brahmachari. Great devotee, like photographic memory, probably met him a few times or know him. Everybody's kind of got to know him because he knows English quite well and very, very helpful. He's gone to Goloka. And he helped me a lot of my books. And he and many Goswamis from the temples, they insisted that it's historically proven that Lord Chaitanya's Shila is in Bhagavad Nivas across from ISKCON. So I heard all that in 88, 89. So then I went to Bhagavad Nivas, and there was no big show or anything. There was two Sheilas on the altar at the time. There were like four or five, many, like a few steps, I remember, three or four steps. They were very simple, some cement steps or something. some picture of Shilas. It's a long time ago. But then, all, not on the top step, but one of those steps, on the, just in the corner was two Shilas. I was one, wasn't anybody in the temple room. So then, this one Baba was there. And he said, I said, where's Lord Chaitanya's Gauranga? She said, ah, it's over there. He didn't make any, it was no big thing. Like, oh, yeah, look at it, you know, some rupees and all this. He just, it's all over on the altar there, on the left there. I said, well, there's two, which one? You know, that one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, old guys are grouchy, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I said, okay, thanks a lot. So I went there, I wasn't sure which one. That was my experience of the thing, you know.
The other one is at Radha Gokulananda temple.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
The other one.
Yeah, Prachin. Radha Radha. It takes now. This is some Giriraj's perfume. It takes. Wow. I've got a whole like different one every day. So, it takes. Nice to see you.
Right around. I want to come here more.
Yeah, I'm here. Anytime.
I distribute, or is it for me?
For you. I got more. I'll give those things. You're odd, darn. You got.
We'll meet again.
That's shy. So, other question? Oh wait, I think, can you get the door yet? The squeeze is in, it's locked from outside. It's a two-way lock. Because when Shogadar goes, he can lock from outside and I can open it when he goes.
Oh.
I kind of, because there's two guys come and go, you know, so him and me, so.
I see. That's
a new thing, because he used to go, I'm downstairs in the basement chanting. And he would come in and wash the dishes and go. Because he can't lock the door from outside, otherwise I can't get out. He did sometimes, I complained. So then all of a sudden here, all this noise. I said, what the hell is that? And I came upstairs with like 20 monkeys in here. And throwing stuff all around. And the one guy was so unabashed. The guy was leaving. He had one fruit in his mouth, and he had two in his hands. An apple in each hand. And he's walking like a human being. He's just like, I could have just taken a stick and slapped him. I was just sitting there. This was a what? Check this out. I was just like getting entertained. I said, this guy's together, man. He was like one of those big guys. I just sat there. Okay, help yourself. You know, it's only 50 rupees or 3 apples, or whatever. It was a fun. I mean, Braj is full of funny scenes. Man. So then after I got the door, I took it off and saw that thing and made that little trap door system. It works pretty good. You know, a guy can come and go. Questions? Because he's going tomorrow to Europe. So.
You're here any longer? Next week?
Probably.
Maybe. Okay. Tomorrow he's going to Europe.
I have a question about Lila Smaranam.
Lila Smaranam.
Yes. Right. About, like, I don't know, procedure or how it's usually done, because there is, like, how do you say, like, artificial trying to remember. There is there, and you try and you do as much as you can do, but there is one which is revealing to you.
Everything is sadhana. You do what you do as sadhana, that's what's revealed to you. You don't do any sadhana, you don't get any revelation. That's called Kripa Siddhi. And Kripa Siddhi, Rupa Goswami, doing nothing and getting darshan of Krishna is very, very, very rare. And nobody preaches that, nobody encourages that. Do nothing and just wait for the mercy. We do as much as we can and wait for the mercy also. So ultimately it's all Kripa Siddhi in one sense. But it's Kripa Siddhi plus a whole lot of endeavor and a whole lot of mercy. But specifically, it's told in Nectar Devotion, and it cites, like, gives examples, like two people that got Kripa Siddhi. One is the Yajna Patnis. The wives of the Brahmins got Kripa Siddhi, or one particular definitely did. She got Kripa Siddhi, and I think the wives of the Brahmins, maybe the Naga Patnis also. I forget. No, is it Yajna Patnis and Narada Muni or something, I don't remember. There's two. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is cited from the Puranas. You know. So that's not the way to go. We do sadhana. So whatever you do in your sadhana, that becomes your perfection. Krishna is telling in Gita, chapter 8, verse 6, Yam yam vapi smran bhava, tyashi janti kalevram, tam tam evaiti kontaya, sada tad bhavita. The most important line of this verse is the last line, 8, 6, Bhagavad Gita. Sada tad bhava bhavita. Sada tad bhava bhavita. Bhavita means that condition, or that will become, sada tad bhav. Tad, that, sada, always, always that, bhav. Sada tad bhava bhavita. That bhav, that mood, that sadhana that you're always cultivating and always thinking and always practicing, that is the condition you will get in next life, because that's what you'll think of when you die. The verse says at the time of death, whatever you're thinking of, that state of existence, you'll get in next life. So that last line proves what is told in Prarthana, or maybe it's Prem Bhakti Chandriya, by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, sadhana, then he says, whatever you do in your sadhana becomes your sadhya. So everywhere, every acharya, six Goswamis, Vishwanath, Narottam Das Thakur, and Bhagavad Gita are telling us about abhyas, sadhan, daily practice. You practice daily. You're talking about how to do Lila Smaran. Lila Smaran is one of the devotional limbs. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So there's Rup Smaranam, there's Guna Smaranam, there's Lila Smaranam. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we emphasize Lila Smaranam, which automatically includes Guna Smaranam and also Rup Smaranam. Remembering Krishna's forms and Guru's form and your form, like this, there's some system. Now, when we talk about Smaranam in Bhakti Sandarbha and all other places, it's telling there are five levels of Smarana. Just like you can divide the practice of walking into also different stages. The baby doesn't just come out of the womb and say, okay, let's go. You know, where's the dinner table? You know, there's different stages. First he's, lying on his whatever, back or something. The first stage of walking is you're lying on your back. I think so. I never had a little brother, so I don't know. Two older brothers. And you're going like this, right? Lying on your back. Then there's something called uttan. Uttan means when you roll over and get up. It's called Uttana Ekadasi. That's the day that Krishna got off his back, rolled over, and it's called the coming out ceremony, because in Vedic Dharma, as soon as the baby turns over and starts crawling, they celebrate, they have a yajna and a big utsav. And so that's described in the Krishna book. And that's the same day, Uttana Ekadasi, which is the last Ekadasi in Kartik. Uttan means to get up. But it doesn't. The demigods wake up after 4 months, which is 8 hours of their time. 4 months of our time, Chaturmasya, they're all sleeping. Lord Vishnu, demigods, etc. So Uttan, they wake up, offer them sugar cane and all these things. Now you see, Ganaras. So that day is the day when Krishna started crawling. So Mother Yashoda took him outside, and there was so much music and celebration, homa and yajna and gift giving. She took a sari, and she tied the sari underneath a bullock cart. It's called a shakat. You know shakat? Like shatakara. Chatikara's is old name was shatak. Shatakara. Because they put all their wagons, they put all their bale gutties in a half circle. So it's Chati. It became Chatikara because that also means Chatram, which means umbrella, Chatra. Or Shatak. Shatakara in Sanskrit, Shatakara. So that's a cart. So she tied the yoke, the pole that goes to hold the bullocks, there, and she put it in a back axle. It's called a hammock. You know a hammock? Mm-hmm. Like between two trees or whatever, two pillars of your veranda or something. And then Krishna got in the middle of the sari. Like you see these Rajasthanis on the side of the road, they put their little kids there and they push them. It's very common in Braj. And the kids are all wrapped up, they're like a bug in a cocoon. You know, it's a sari, so just all the sides come together. And Krishna is just, so she would push every once in a while, and Krishna would like. And then Shakat, that yogi, became a ghost and he entered into the cart to kill Krishna. Shakat Asura. He must be knowing. So that was when Krishna was 3 months old. 6 days old, he killed Putana. Second demon was Trinavarta, that was 1 year. This next demon, 6 days old, I believe, was Shakat. Excuse me, 3 months. So when Krishna is born in August, 3 months from Krishna's birthday is Uttani Kadasi and Kartik. August, September, September, October, October, November. 3 months. Yeah, you follow? 3 months after Krishna is born, exactly 3 months after his birthday, is Uttani Kadasi. Okay? Which is the last Ekadasi in Kartik month, which is November. October, November. So then that demon was killed, Uttani Kadasi. So I don't know. What's the question? I just love Krishna book. So there's five stages of Smaran. So one is simple Smaran. You even just started discussing him in your question. Well, how can you become Zora just a little bit at a time? It's like that. So I'm giving you an analogy. The first Krishna is on his back, then he crawled, then he stood up. These different stages of walking are the analogy or comparison to the different stages of remembering Krishna's Leela. To have, the topmost, what is the topmost stage of Smaranam? It's called Samadhi. Smaranam is divided into simple Smaranam, then Dhyanam, then Dhruvana Smriti, and Samadhi. Samadhi is a stage of Smaran. It's a mental position. It's not an asana, a physical asana. It's a mental, your mind is fully wrapped in meditation, which is Dhyan, which is the lower level. First there's Smaranam, and then there's, Smaranam, and Smaranam, Dharanam, holding for some time. Smaranam means simple remembrance, the beginning stage, Smaranam. Simple remembrance. Okay, I read with my eyes, I read this little pastime. Radha and Krishna, Radharani waking up in Yavat. I read in Govinda Lila, and I catch something. I read it once or twice. Small section. Just her waking up. Mukura, her grandmother, comes, and Vishaka's there, and there's a yellow chadar, and Krishna's yellow chadar. The sun is rising, and it's just Mukura, and Jatila's outside, and different sakis. And I read. Now I close the book. Now I chant one or two rounds. I try to remember and see that. So why I'm thinking of that Leela, I'm meditating on the form of Radharani. I'm meditating on form, Mukra, all there, everyone, on their forms. A simple meditation, and then maybe more specific. I don't know all the different clothing and everything of Mukra, but I know that she's the mother of Radharani's mother. She's the nanny, the grandmother of Radharani. But I know Radharani dresses like this and like that. So that I can meditate more on her form and the Leela, and then the face, the expression, the mood, so many things, the sunrise. So I do all of that, so that's simple Smaran. And even I'm chanting, I chant one round, I'm remembering that. And I chant the second round, I'm remembering that. Or a half the round. Then I think, oh yeah, what if I have to pay that electric bill, It's like this, chancha, it's called Vishape. Vishape means distraction, big shape. It's a term in all yoga. You're meditating whatever, flame, tip of your nose, and third eye, whatever. Then the mind jumps. It's like a spike. In Vrindavan we have this electricity. It comes like this. It's 220 volts, and all of a sudden goes down to 90. And then, what do they call it? Spike? That's what they call it. Spike.
Surge.
Yeah, excuse me. Surge. So they have something called surge protector. So there's surge and there's urge. We need an urge accelerator. We have to accelerate our urge to surrender and serve Krishna. So in other words, Rome wasn't built in a day. Because Smaran, first of all, Smaran, Srila Anantadas Baba, his books and his lectures, and everybody will tell, Prabhupada also. Prabhupada sings this song all the time by Narottam Das. What is this? Shudhave Man. Sri Vrindavan Dham, what's that? Vishaya Chariya Kave Shuddha Habe Man Kave Hama Herabo Sri Vrindavan Dham. Maybe you're all like newer devotees and you're not familiar much with Prabhupada's bhajans, but this is one of his vintage bhajans, and maybe it's Gauranga Dutipada or something. I think it's that raga, you're a musician, You too. I think it's that raga. Gauranga duti pada. So one line is there. Vishaya chariya kabe shudahave man. When will my mind become pure? Vishaya chariya. Vishayi chariya kabe. Kabe. When? Kada kabe. When will my vishaya. Vishaya means object. Prem vishaya and prem ashraya. Vishaya. When will the objects of the senses. When will I chordye? This is Bengali. Vishaya chariya. Chariya means chordye. Tyag. When will I renounce the objects of sense gratification, material enjoyment? When I can do that, then my mind will become pure. So how do you renounce the sense? How do you renounce the objects of the senses? How do you make your mind pure? By tapasya. By Ekadasi Jagran, by Shivratri Jagran, by Ekadasi fasting, by Nirjal, by Parikrama, by 1 month brethas, 1 month bathing, or chanting, all austerity, chanting one lakh a day, that's austerity, all kinds of austerities. Physical austerities, mental austerities, sadhana austerities. Every day we're chanting 16 rounds. And it's not an austerity. We can do it quite easily. And okay. Well, now it's Kartik. Now I'm going to perform. This is the, you know, okay, you eat one chickpea a day. You bathe every day at sunrise. That's very good. That purifies your indriya, your senses and body, and your mind. But the most pure, the most powerful sadhana is Nam Sankirtan, Krishna's name. Sarva Shrestha, Sarva Madhya. It says in the CC of all, he says, because that question was asked by Sanatan Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, Sanatan Shiksha, what is the best of all sadhanas? So he says, Sarva Shrestha Sadhana, the Shrestha Sadhana. The Sarva Shrestha Sadhana is Krishna Sankirtan, Krishna name. So better than reading, better than Smaran. I mean, Smaran, Kirtan is supposed to lead you to Smaran. I mean, they work together. Smaran while you're doing kirtan, and kirtan to get purified to do just smaran, smaran with kirtan, smaran without kirtan, smaran with japa, smaran without japa. Either way, any combination is good, and you act accordingly to what you can get. So to do smaran effectively, everywhere it's told the mind must become pure. So until the mind is pure, we can't expect any exalted or high states of smaran, dhyan, dhruvana smriti or samadhi. These are the desirable goals, but we have to be real, honest and realistic. Like, okay, so you think, okay, I'm 6 years old. I think I'll start practicing and work out and go for the Olympics. It's a little too late now. You're not going to make it. You go for the Olympic medal when you're 18, 20, or you start practicing when you're 25, you compete. So it's we try our best. You have to try, because God helps those who help themselves. We have this expression, God helps those who help themselves. In other words, Krishna says in Gita the same thing. You try to do some sadhana, you try to surrender unto me, yaya tamam prapadyante tam satayu vajamyam, mama martmana vartante manasa partasarvasha. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So it's surrender to go from 16 rounds a day during rest of the year, and Kartik, I'm going to chant 1 lakh. That's a big austerity. Isn't it? Mind's jumping. Oh, and some days it goes 64, goes fast. Some days we meet the old friend from New York or Boston, this, that, and I haven't seen in a long time. And all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock at night, we have 32 rounds to do. 10 o'clock. Ordinarily you're done in the morning, even 12, anytime before 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, your whole schedule is, you know, upside down. It's Kartik, big time for socializing, and a big time for doing, you know, bhajan. So it's a hard thing to just lock yourself up and do bhajan, because your old friends and devotees and god brothers and people you want to meet and love, and it's that's love, you know, society. They only come in Kartik, and that's the only month of the year you ever do anything. You know, 11 months you're in Vrindavan just fighting your dysentery and you know, malaria, and it's too cold, and it's too hot, and it's too noisy. You know, you just, and then finally it's okay. It's time to stop fighting with my mind and do something at least for 1 month. I got to get the spirit. And, you know, we're like that, you know, it's Kali Yuga. But then that's the month when everybody comes. I think you understand what I'm saying. So you try your best, and Krishna will reward. That's the whole idea. Wow, I'm remembering more all of a sudden. So what's happening? Am I getting more mercy, or just my mind's becoming purified? Somehow it's working. Practice makes perfect. So begin. So as far as the details that your guru would instruct you, otherwise you... without some detailed instructions by your guru, and oftentimes that would mean, you know, siddha pranali and different kinds of meditations on your form and his form, but it may not have all that. So no problem. There's no, Prabhupada said so many places in his books, there's no bar to practicing bhakti. There's no prison bars in your brain to keep you from meditating or thinking of whatever you want. You can think I'm a mantra, you can think this is my complexion, you can think this is my dress, you can think this is my age, this is my eternal service, and I also do all these other services. And I'll do this for Radharani and do that for Radharani, and I'll do this. There's no law against thinking. Fortunately. There should be sometimes. some thoughts. But there's no law against it. So, you know, so should I think like this or not? Well, the first question is, are you thinking of... The basic question is, yeah, are you thinking of Krishna? Yeah, okay, do it. Are you thinking of Radharani? Yeah, do it. Is it basically, and it should be guided by Shastra. Yeah, I'm thinking of, you know, putting some chicken feathers in Radharani's beanie, you know. I'm thinking of tying some, getting a chicken and grabbing a bunch of brown feathers from his tail and tying on Radharani's veil. I just had this idea. But I'm thinking of Radharani, so Maharaj said it's okay. No, it's not okay. If you know what I mean, chicken. It's not, yeah. So your thinking must be guided by Guru Shastra Sadhu. You read about all the sevas that are done by the Parishads to Radharani. Then you think, well, I can also do, because you can do all those sevas. All the sevas are eternally being done, and there's always room for another Manjari and Sakhi to come and do all those services also. Because there's unlimited Radharanis and unlimited Krishnas and unlimited Dhams for each one, for each group. And the proof of that is Narada Muni and Krishna Lila and Dwarka. Like when I was talking about multiple identities and this and that earlier in the conversation. So when Narada Muni went to Dwarka, he went from palace to palace. In every palace he saw Krishna. So he went in 16 palaces. In one palace he saw Rukmini. Another palace he saw Mitravinda. Another palace he saw this Satyabhama. And then Satya. And then Kalindi. Then and all the different major queens. And different queen in each palace. Okay, that makes sense. But one Krishna. And the same Krishna, the one Krishna was expanded, but those were also expansions of Radharani ultimately. But in every palace, there was a Vasudeva and Devaki and Balaram. Every single palace. There were 16,000 Vasudeva, 16,000 Devaki, 16,000 Narada Munis, and, you know, everything was like this. So that means there's a separate parakashtra, or group, for each group. There was Rukmini and her Vasudeva and Devaki. There was Satyabhama and her Vasudeva and Devaki. And Akura and all that, the whole entourage. So it becomes that personal. So this Smaran, you know, you don't have all these things, so you can think like that. And then the main thing about Smaran, there's different schools of thought, and when you go in a traditional Parivar, they will teach you different ways. But that should come down through your gurus and through the Parivar you're in. But in the absence of that, there's no limitation. You can. The main thing is to think of the Leela and think of Radha and Krishna in the particular sthai rati that you identify with and that you feel that you, that's you, whatever that is. And generally it's Madhurya Bhav and this Bhavalas Rati, which is a special type of Madhurya Rati, or conjugal love for Radha, for Krishna, but where the love and service angle is drawn to Radharani. More Bhav and more love for Radharani than Krishna, although I love Krishna fully. And then identifying with the bhavas and the moods and loving moods and changes in mood and love of Radharani is called bhavulas. Bhavulas, rising. My heart, my bhavas, my moods, my feelings, they rise and fall and they ebb and tide. You know, they become high tide and low tide. They ebb and tide, they rise and fall with the movements of the waves of love in Radharani's heart. It's called tat-tat bhavichatmika. And there's some bhog ichatmika. The sakis, alita vishaka, they have some bhog ichatmika. They're atmika, their self, their icha. They desire to some bhog, bhoga, enjoy, some completely. They desire to enjoy completely with Krishna. It's called sangama. Sangha means association, and sangama means union, man-woman union, sangama. So that's the ultimate sangha. So we say sarva sangha, we don't say sarva sangama. So this is their mood. But the Manjaris, Nityasakis and Pransakis, their mood is tat tat bhavachatmika, and that's their type of mood, and a specific rati or attachment that they have. It's a stai rati, but it's a branch of the, there's only five stai ratis, madura rati and vatsalya. So their rati is madura rati, but there's a branch or a type of it, special type called bhavalas rati, where they have conjugal love for Radha and Krishna, and they serve in that conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but they're Radharani's kinkari maidservants, and they have more bhav and more affection for Radharani than Krishna. They're called Radha Sneha Adik. Adik means extra, more. Sneha, affection. And Lalita Vishaka, they're called Sama Sneha Adika. They have equal affection for Radharani and Krishna. And then Brindadevi, Dhanishta, they're called Krishna Sneha Adika. They have more affection, Brindadevi, Dhanishta, and a group of Sakis. They have more affection for Krishna than Radharani. And if you read my Govinda Lilamrita and Bhavanamrita minutely, you'll see different exchanges where Tulsi Manjari is taking Radharani's side and Brindadevi is taking Krishna's side. Because Brindadevi is Krishna Sneha Adhika. So she's defending Krishna, and Tulsi Manjari was Raghunath Das with Radharani, Radharani Sneha Adhik. She's giving a hard time to Brindadevi, who's representing Krishna. I mean, to Krishna, Brindadevi's there. And Krishna says, oh, Tulsi, I'll give you an example. Go into the little words. Oh, Tulsi, you're never separated from Radharani. Wherever Radharani is, Tulsi Manjari's there. Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das. Hmm? So I know, Krishna's telling, I know you're here, Rati Manjari, so you're Rati Manjari, so your Radharani must be somewhere near. No, I'm sorry, Krishna. She couldn't come today. She was churning water. There was water inside a yogurt pot, and she was churning it for 1 hour. And Jatila came and said, what are you doing? She came and said, hey, you have butter yet? What, it's 45 minutes you're churning, 1 hour? Ah, Ari, this is water. There's no yogurt in here. Well, how you churn water? You Pagalini, you're just thinking of that black snake? What are you doing? Hey, go to your room. You're not coming out. I'm sorry, Sham. Radharani's locked in the room. She's not going to see you today. I'm really sorry. So Rati Manjari is giving very, very hard time to Krishna because she favors Radharani. She wants to see Krishna get nervous, get agitated. Oh, really? Oh, that's terrible news. How am I going to live? Then Brindadevi standing behind Krishna looking at Rati Manjari. What are you saying, you know? Stop tormenting my Krishna. And then Rati Manjari say, no, I'm having fun. And I know that Radharani is watching this whole thing through the eyes of my heart. Through the eyes of my heart, Radharani is watching this and relishing this. Because the Manjaris, everything they say, everything they do is only for the pleasure of Radharani. Nothing else. They have no ego. I want to hurt Krishna, or I want to make him submissive to me. They have no ego. They're not like us. Brindadevi is standing behind and looking over Krishna's shoulder at her. And then she even said, all right, Tulsi, enough is enough. Dhanishta and Brinda were standing next together, Kusan Sarovar. And Krishna was there, then Tulsi, because Krishna met Dhanishta and Brinda. So where's Radharani? I don't know, I'm not sure, we haven't heard anything. We have to wait for one of her party to come. Then along comes Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. Oh, here comes Tulsi. So Tulsi's, okay, I'm going to fix this guy. You know. So this is an example how the different snehas are interacting. So when you understand the rasa tattva a little bit, then you understand how the differences work. It's a very fine point. So far as smaran, which is the basic question, being orbited around, you know, trying to get clearance for, you know, a landing, you know, or just the runway is full, we can't land this plane, you know, we keep going around and around. But it's a very nice orbit. But we're not actually landing on the question. So the basic thing is that you, according to your taste and your attraction, you meditate on Krishna's leelas. With chanting of japa, without chanting of japa. But not reading and chanting. This is not told anywhere. Because your mind will never get strong that way. Your eyes will get weak, but your mind will not get strong. Your eyes will become weak by looking at small print on books all the time and bad lighting. Unless you get a Kindle reader, then if you read on the Kindle reader, you'll have. No, I don't have an old fashioned, but they say all that. So this is the thing that, you know, that if many devotees ask me a question, can I Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then this one. Read, because then your memory will never get, memory is like a muscle. Because when I went to college, I took some fast reading courses and some memory courses. So, you know, how to read fast, because there's so many books you have to read. It's called, you read with your finger, and you go like this, you know. Zigzag, rum, bro. You go like, you when you're little, you're going like this, when you're second grade, your teachers, don't use your finger, just read. And, okay. Then you're 20 years old, and you go to college, and you take a Evelyn Woods speed reading course, something like that, and then you pay money. And then they teach, okay, we'll teach you how to read fast with your finger. I said, what? I stopped that when I was 7 years old. So then he said, because the eye just catches things. So the eye will just follow your finger. You don't even go like this. You don't go left to right. You go like this. Go zoo, zoo, zoo. So your finger goes, reads that paragraph, and then that paragraph. You're reading almost like front words, and you're just reading like you're reading zigzag. And it was very effective and very good. Whatever. So that reading like that and chanting is, but the memory power, it will not, you can read fast, but that's not the way it should be done. It's not smart. It's not meditating. It's just reading. Because the mind, because you have, basically smarin is done with closed eyes. You actually have to, you have to see in the mental eye. And ultimately, of course, Gopakumara is showing when he went to Tapaloka. When Gopakumara went to Tapaloka, then the sages were trying, because he kept saying, I'm chanting my Gopal mantra. I want to see Gopal. And the sages were preaching to him, the Tapasya Vairagis and Tapaloka, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Why are you stressed on your material eyes of seeing? You know, you see in your mind, and the drishti and the meditation, because they're all meditative yogis. They see lotus feet of Krishna. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I want to see him with these eyes, you know. He's a little kid, though. He's a Kumar, Gopal Kumar. He's a little kid. 8, 5, 7, whatever he was. So he said, I'm not staying here. Then he kept chanting his Gopal mantra and left Tapaloka. And finally went to Vaikuntha. You know, the story is there. So the best thing is to see Krishna eye to eye. That will come at the level of high level of bhava and prema. And what our Madhurya Kadambini is telling. So you practice, you read the Leela, and then try to, and what I find also very helpful is, I thought I did it for myself, but I was told that I shouldn't distribute it because it's just not for distribution, so I didn't distribute it. But I recorded like years ago, like Andrew was doing. I was also doing, not even knowing that he was doing, but I, back in 87, 88, like that, I recorded so many books for myself, reading, and I, you know, Govinda Lilamrita, Bhavanamrita, so many things. So I just listened to them all the time. And sometimes I've even had a little tape player and I just put it on, and I organize it that way, broke it down by Leelas. And if I want to go, if I want to hear a Leela over and over, I just put it on soft. I feel that's because my eyes are closed and I'm totally concentrating. It's just lightly there. So I feel that's kind of, that's that type you can, it's not the best, and that's not the tradition, obviously. Siddha Krishnas didn't have a little, of Govardhan didn't have a little tape player. You know, they had fantastic memories. They had fantastic memories, good brains, pure, very pure minds, and very wonderful atmosphere, peaceful atmosphere. All that's gone now. And we live very short lives, and we are very disturbed. So I don't think a little bit of modification is at least I see it like that. Others may say other things, but the ultimate thing, I know it, and I try as much as possible to close my eyes and chat and think. It's very difficult, but it gets easier with practice. I think it's almost 6 o'clock, maybe. There's 4 to 6 of these questions. Someone else has a question? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Ranga?
I didn't forget the question, but I'm just contemplating on your answer, the last one, and I'm just wondering that we are generally teach that when we are chanting, we should...
We're generally what?
We are generally teach, we are hearing that when we are...
We're usually taught.
Yeah, no, like... We learn usually.
Second language.
Our teachers are telling us usually that...
I know one language, you know five. So, all these European kind of Russian people, they know four or five languages. You know, you maybe know a couple, probably, but I only know one. Hardly. We're the stupid guys. There's even a joke like that. You say, what do you call someone who knows four languages? And they say, oh, he's a Charbashak. Charbashak. He knows the Bashamese language. What do you call someone who knows three languages? Well, he's a tribashak, bashak. What do you call someone who knows two languages? Oh, he's a dobashak. What do you call someone that only knows one language? Well, he's American. So, joke's on us. Sorry about that, but that is the fact. Mostly. Mostly. Because I know Indians, they all know three, four languages. I know Europeans, Russians, they all know three, four languages. It's a little embarrassing point. Anyway, so you've been taught what? What have you been taught?
That when we are chanting the mantra, we should just hear the vibration, just listen for the name. But then if we are at the same time meditating, then how is it supposed to work? That's a technical question.
It's not a very technical question. It's a very common sense answer if you think about it. You're basically saying, how can we hear and remember at the same time? Is that what you're saying? Because if you think of the lady, you know, the modern lady, she's breastfeeding her baby. She's stirring some, you know, dal for her husband and talking to her sister on the cell phone speaker. Okay, you got it? This is the baby? This is the doll? Yeah, okay. And she's doing all the... She's not burning a doll. She's not burning the baby. She's not dropping the baby in a doll. She's not absent-minded. And she's not... She understands. She's coherent. She can understand what her sister's asking. She's responding. So she's a simple housewife. She doesn't have a PhD. Didn't go to Harvard, you know. And she's doing three things very well at once. I mean, don't forget, how many brain cells are up there? Five? Well, when I studied physiology in medical school, they said there's 500 billion brain cells. And all you can do is hear three syllables, ha, re, six, two, four, six syllables. Ha, re, kri, and shna. It's kri, and then shna. And then ra and ma. That's all they can do with 500. It takes 500 billion brain cells to hear six syllables. Are you sure? There's 8,400,000 different ragas of music. 8,400,000 originally. Every species of life, there was an individual raga. But now, because of Kali Yuga, it's been reduced. There's only something like 8,400 left. Different ragas. Different times of day and all these things. And different seasons, there's ragas. Different temperatures, there's ragas. Different moods, there's ragas. Different times of day, there's ratri raga. And, you know, so many ragas. And raganis also. So, and some people know so many ragas. You know, one brain. So the brain is unlimited and vast. We have to see the totality. You can ask your guru, your instructor, your teacher, who's telling you that particular instruction. You can say, I've read many books and many instructions about the holy name by our acharyas and mahajans, and I find many different instructions, such as, and you can cite some of them. So, am I forever, time eternal, only supposed to chant the holy name in this way? Because our illustrious acharyas have recommended other ideas also. So, would I be able to follow those, or what? That's the basic way to go. Again, there's nothing in Shastra. You won't find anything in Shastra that says you have to chant. You can only chant the holy name on japa and hear. You won't find that. You'll find things in Bhakti Sundarva's mantra, mantra chintana. So at the time of chanting, the nam or mantra, one should meditate on the meaning of, mantra art chintan. Art means the meaning art, many meanings. Art, arta means the benefit, the meaning, etc., the value of the mantra. Thinking, one should think about the meaning of the mantra while chanting, the Diksha mantras and the Maha mantra. And then they've given meanings. Jiva Goswami has a meaning of the Maha mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a meaning of the Maha mantra. Raghunath Das Goswami has a meaning of the mantra. Vishnath Chakravarti has a meaning of the mantra. Hari Bhakti Vilas has a meaning of the mantra. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami has a meaning of the mantra. So then, Prabhupada himself in this kind, he's not just saying, chant the holy name and hear. He's saying that. He's also saying, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you should pray. And he gives a meaning. Oh, energy of the Lord, that's a meaning. That's called a mantra artha chintana. Oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Mother Hara. You heard this? Please engage me in the service of the Father Krishna or of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Yes? And then Srila Prabhupada taught about the bhava or mood. One should have the mood of a child crying for his mother. One should chant the holy name with the genuine crying of a baby for his mother. So that's many things Prabhupada's telling himself besides just chanting and hearing the name. He's talking about bhav, he's talking about chintan, he's talking about meditating and meaning, he's talking about position of the mind and meditation on meaning, he's talking about the position of the heart and the bhav and the mood. So if you take that into rag marg, raganuga bhakti, what is the mood of your chanting? The mood is from the mood of a manjari. Chanting when Radharani is in separation, it's called the manjari bhav. Chanting japa in the mood of a manjari. Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada is saying, chant with the bhav or the mood of a baby. Is that door's closed? Door's closed?
It's closed, but
yeah.
He came in, a few mosquitoes got in.
Close because mosquitoes come in.
Whenever
in and out, always close it, especially now. So you see, in the chanting, you have to hear, but you have two ears. One ear can hear the mantra, the other ear can hear the soundtrack. Your own homemade soundtracks. It's very nice, 3 o'clock in the morning, this is my cave room. I wrote about cave rooms, this is my cave room. I have an article on Facebook. Establish a cave room in your house. This is my cave room. And then you put on this tape player, very slow, not slow, but low I should say. It's all dark, quiet. It's a marvelous experience. And I'm hearing, now your teacher said you have to hear when you chant. Hari Bhakti Vilas says manasik japa is 1,000 times more powerful than audible. And 1,000 times more difficult. The vast majority of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they chant in their mind, quietly. So what does it mean? What does this word hearing mean then? Are they all chanting aparadna? Are they wrong? Are they right? In other words, we're right when we follow whatever our guru tells us to do. That's the rightness. And we're convinced of it, and we follow it. And if we have doubts, then we ask the guru. And what do you think Gita is all about? Shamshaya. The whole Bhagavad Gita is talking about Shamshaya. And there must be, you type in the word Shamshaya in Sanskrit and search the Gita, how many times you find it? 20 times, something like that. Shamshaya means doubt. You understand? D-O-U-B-T, doubt. Not clear. And then Krishna asks, Arjuna, are all your doubts removed? Are you Paka, are you clear? Are you peaceful? You're ready? Yes, let's go. I'll fight. So you have doubt, disciple. Arjuna is a disciple, and Krishna is a guru. And your disciples, you have your gurus. So Arjuna, he's maybe better devotee than we are. You think so? Must be. Quite a bit. He had doubts, and we have thousands of doubts, unlimited doubts. And we have our teacher, our Krishna representative, so we ask him. And he clears us the doubts. And we feel nice. Oh, nice. Whenever I meet my teacher, I ask questions. I have so many questions. I have so many thousand notebooks. And somebody might think, oh, don't you know anything by now? No, I don't. I don't know anything. I admit it. I'm a fool. I'm stupid. I'm a fool. I'm degraded. I'm low. I'm just worthless. So whenever I meet my teachers, when they see me, they say, you have questions? I say, yeah. Okay, sit down. They love it. Teachers love students with questions. What do teachers love? That they're teachers. You come and sit in front of the teacher, you have a question. No, I just came here to sleep. You speak, I'll sleep. Any question, huh? What? Okay. Nice class, thank you. So, no questions means two things. Either you're sleeping, you haven't read anything, or you're not doing serious bhajan. Three things. If a sadhaka has no questions, four things. Or he's self-realized. Forgot. That's where it's all supposed to go. I mean, the teacher does want his students to graduate, which means they're realized. I mean, going back to Godhead. There's four positions. I don't have any questions. Why? Because I'm sleeping. Why? Because I'm not reading. I'm not really doing. And then third, I'm not doing any bhajan, so nothing's coming up. No questions. No. I'm doing bhajan, but is it right or should it go like this or like that? That's the kind of questions I have now. You know, I'm doing something, but is it just my concoction or is it? So then I try to clear it and get more clear idea. And then, because you may be doing something and you think, you have some doubt, is this exactly the way it's supposed to go? Or maybe I'm not, because I don't know, I'm a student. So you go to the teacher, I'm meditating like this and is it like this? No. Do I have to think that this and all that? No, this, you just, this. Okay, that's your thing. And you go away, oh, very nice. You feel so peaceful and relaxed and encouraged, clear. Guru Mokha Padma Bhakya Chite Te Koriya. It's nice. It's very technical terms and consciousness and all that chitta. But the basic thing is you meet Guru, you have questions, and you're a little disturbed in mind, not peaceful, or happy, whatever, then you get answers and you go away, you feel happy. That's really what the thing is saying, that your mind is pacified and you feel you learn something or you gain something. I think we're out of time. Pranabhava or Yamuna there? Some of the old students. Old young students. Anything? What's going on? Is it? Yeah.
For example, if my guru gave me instruction to read only Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita.
I mean
somebody.
Only if you. I agree. If you only read the Bhagavatam, you'll attain perfection. Who's telling Rupa Goswami? Panchanga Bhakti. Only study Bhagavatam, realize it, you'll attain perfection. Jiva Goswami writes a commentary in that verse. What my brother is trying to say, Rupa Goswami, when he says only read the Bhagavatam, he means only read the 10th canto. That's in the Tika, Bhano Swami's translation also. You know, Jiva Goswami's and Vishnath's commentaries in each verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He talks about Panchanga Bhakti, so Bhagavat Shravan. Hearing the Bhagavad. So there he says, this means 10th canto. So, yeah. Okay, interesting question. Oh, I only read the Bhagavad. Okay, what else? What else is your...
I'm asking because somebody...
He said only read the Bhagavad.
Somebody emphasized to read Rasika Granthas of Goswamis. That's why question arises.
Bhagavatam, what is the Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam is a Rasik Granth of the six Goswamis. Because you never read any Shastra without Guru. Guru comes in the form of commentaries of the verses. That's called Shiksha Guru. And Guru comes in the form of Diksha Guru to guide you and personally answer your questions on the shastras you're reading. So there's no, you know, plenty of Indians, they buy a mul shlok Bhagavatam. It's one volume, 18,000 shlokas, one big book, 18,000 shlokas. I give that book sometimes because some of these Ekadasi Brats and other Brats, they say anyone who gives a Srimad Bhagavatam wrapped in gold, on a golden pillow to a Brahmin on this day gets so many benefits. So I don't have gold, you know, gold pillow or gold, so I take some yellow cloth. and a Mul Shlok Bhagavatam. In those days it meant a lot because the person, first of all, had to hire a Brahmin scribe to write the... First of all, these were what kings did. He had to hire... The king wanted to get this punya and benefit of giving a Bhagavatam, a full Bhagavatam, on a golden tali is what you're supposed to give it. Because he's a king. First he has to hire... Because there's no bookshops. And each Bhagavatam is handwritten on, you know... What do you call it?
Palm
leaves. Thank you. So that takes months or weeks or whatever. So nowadays we spend 60 rupees and buy a Gita Press Mul Shlok Bhagavatam, wrap it in some yellow satin cloth, and it costs about 75 rupees altogether. And then the whole thing. And then you give it to a Brahmin. No golden plate. So this is the thing. If you read the Bhagavatam with the commentaries of Vallabhacharya, Vishnu Chakravarti, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, that's enough. You get prema. Very fast. You chant Hare Krishna, that's enough, you get prema. You live in Vrindavan, that's enough, you get prema. You serve your Thakurji day and night. Don't read any shastra, don't chant, you're just serving, you're just sitting with your deity day and night. If your guru gives you that seva, you get prema that way. It's called Panchanga Bhakti. Very powerful. So what's the rest of the question?
Because usually, especially here...
Your guru... Hello. The guru is... You go to school, and you have what you call a teacher. And you're in college, and so he's teaching a subject. And then he may say, okay, now... We finish this book, now we'll take this book. Now open this book and we'll teach this subject. So the teacher is guiding you through the books, book by book, subject by subject. All the books are there, there's rasa books, there's so many lila, there's so many kinds of books. But the guru is supposed to guide you through. That's the whole idea. It means teacher. It's called spiritual teacher. Wisdom teacher, the modern term they use. Or the spiritual master, they call wisdom teacher. So guru will advise, and if you have some liking and some attraction, then you say, oh, Gurudev, I read... So do that step by step. Okay, read the Bhagavatam. He said that whatever he said, what Guru says is correct. What Guru says is good. If it's based on Shastra and tradition of the Gaudiya tradition, then our duty is to follow it. So follow that. Next question. He said, my Guru said to read the Bhagavatam. Fine. Have you done it? No. Well, do it. It's an order from Guru. Read the 12 cantos. And then you say, Gurudev, I read the 12 cantos. I would like to focus my mind on the 10th canto and the tikkas. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. Now you focus your mind on the 10th canto and the tikkas. And then so much more, you know, Bhava is coming in. Now you might say, Gurudev, I really want to focus on the 10th canto, continue, but on Braj Leela and especially the Gitas, Venu Gita, Gopi Geet, Viraha Geet, Brahma Geet, etc. Because I feel so much attraction to the gopis and Krishna. Okay, you do that. Then I've done that. Now, I'd like to read some little bit more books about the gopis. Okay, now read this. Read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the whole thing, especially the last part. Now read this book. Now read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so this is how it goes. It's a system. So if your guru is giving you this instruction, that the sequence is quite good. Because everywhere the Mukhya Shastra for Gaudiya Sampradaya, or Mukhya Praman, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And everything is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, I mean, the basis of everything. And the Goswami Granthas, it's told everywhere, are simply expansions of the teachings in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the first Shastra that brings out the rasa of the gopis. Vishnu Puran, Vishnu Puran, Harivamsa Puran, Skanda Puran, many Purans talk about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. Vyasa Muni wrote all the Bhagavatam. He wrote the 10th canto. He wrote about Vrindavan Leela. He wrote Skanda Puran, and he wrote Vishnu Puran, and he wrote Padma Puran. All the Krishna Leelas are told in all those Puranas. And he wasn't satisfied, even after he wrote the Krishna Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he had Darshan Narada Muni as guru. His guru said, you wrote so much about Krishna's pastimes in all the Puranas, and you wrote about it in the Bhagavad Puran, but you didn't bring out the ras, the Braja ras, the Madhurya ras, especially the gopis. Now rewrite the 10th canto of Bhagavad Puran again. So he entered in Samadhi Bhasya. He entered in Samadhi in the Bhasya. In that state, then he rewrote the 10th canto, second sitting on the Bhagavatam. Because when there's the Sanskrit verses when describing in the Bhagavatam, when Vyasadeva meets Narada Muni to describe his despondency and unhappiness, it says there in Sanskrit, after completing the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, I was feeling despondent and unhappy. Something's missing. You don't get to 12th canto unless you already wrote 10th canto. This is clear. So then he said, Narada, you know, I wrote the 12th canto. I read, you know, and he said, you wrote so many Puranas. And he wrote, everywhere he's writing, you read Vishnu Purana, it's all about Radha and Krishna, Leela, Vrindavan. I have it in English, it's in English. And I have Padma Purana, the whole thing in English. So he bought me 30 volumes or whatever, 60 volumes, I have the whole thing. And it has Leela, Rasa Leela is also mentioned in there. And Astakali Leela is also mentioned in the original verses of Padma Purana, also, by the way. So, this is the thing. So, the Bhagavatam is full of Ras, Bhagavat Purana. It's good what your guru said this, but some other people said that. Well, so many other people are saying everything. But the main person in anybody's life is their Diksha and Shiksha gurus, isn't it? People will die for their Diksha guru, Shiksha guru. That's also good. That's their faith. We can't interrupt that. You should have such a connection. It's not, well, my Diksha guru says this, but you know, this guy says that, and he says this, and this guru says that. Then you don't have any. Where's the guru? Diksha guru is one. And Shiksha gurus are many to amplify, to enhance, to develop, to expand the teachings of the Diksha guru. And they can teach more and additional, even higher things. But it's kind of a cooperative arrangement, generally. But, you know, there's room, there's latitude. Is that your final question, or what? What is the final question?
How can we start practice like meditation you described in our Siddha Deha during this reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, or we should wait when our teacher guide us to this more deep books, or is it enough to start there here during this stage during reading Srimad Bhagavatam?
What generally happens is in terms of What type of practice of meditation, or as you were saying, meditating at Siddhadeha, etc. These are higher levels, or say practices than the ordinary practices. But Raghavarta Manichandrika in so many places are telling that one can begin such higher practices at the beginning of his practice when he's in Vaidisadhana. I mean, at the level of Anartha Nivritti, which we would call the beginning stages or levels. If someone has these Prakatana samskaras or Adunika samskaras, which we talked about, for Rag Bhakti, from last life, you only get greed and thirst and interest in Rag Bhakti from a devotee or Krishna. Either Krishna gives it to you last life or this life, or a devotee gives it to you. It's not just coming out. This is what's told in the Shastras. So if you have that, and then you will start, that actual greed will kind of, you'll do these practices, you'll have some attraction for it. Otherwise, it's best to follow the path set out by the guru. And Siddhadeya, I've never, generally when we talk about meditating on the Siddhadeya, or Seva, how's it go?
sadaka seva rupani.
That is when seva sadaka is in Rupa Goswami's is nectar version. Talking about Raghunuga Bhakti. Seva, thank you, Bill. Seva sadaka rupina sirupina chatri. So, when one begins Raghunuga sadhana, he serves in a sadaka rupa and a siddhadeya. But all the discussions about siddhadeya, or what Rupa Goswami calls siddha sarup, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the term is used as siddhadeya, and Lord Chaitanya is telling Raghunath Das, he's talking about, they're all describing meditating in Astakali Lila, not Bhagavatam. So your question about reading Bhagavatam and thinking of our siddhadeya, they don't go like that together. That's not, you read the Bhagavatam, to study the Bhagavatam and learn about the rasas, and you study rasa tattva alongside of it, then you see, you know, when Radharani is making this gesture, or this is said that this is this Gona Ras is overlapping this Madhurya Ras, and you get some deeper absorption into the actual Bhagavatam and the pastimes of especially Radha and Krishna. And with the commentaries, whatever you can find, and regular reading and discussions with Bhagavad Acharyas and with your guru, I think that's a perfect thing. Siddhadeya will come into play a little bit later on, I would think so.
So usually it's not enough to read Bhagavatam, it's not enough to nourishing our practice of meditation, siddhadeya, to read Bhagavatam. It requires something more, right?
That's wrong. The higher practice, or more evolved practice based on the purity of the mind. The Bhagavatam is purifying the mind tremendously, very powerfully fast. That's why it's called one of the five most important practices, chanting holy name, sarvasanga. In terms of shastra, everything else is deities and sarvasanga, like this, living in holy dham. The actual specific sadhana practice, hearing, chanting, remembering, this is the Bhagavat Shravan and the Nam, because both are basically mantra. Bhagavatam is full of mantras and the holy name, of course, the Ma mantra. So these two practices are the most powerful purifying elements. So they purify the mind, and then we study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or we study other books about rasas, and then we read the Bhagavatam. And then, because siddhadeya is something either you have developed your own ruchi and own desire for as a result of your development in bhakti, where you just give yourself one or create one, or you receive from guru, or some there's different ways it can come. We're reading Vedanta Sutra, talked about dreams, we gave you that article. Sometimes people receive mantras in dreams, sometimes they can receive their siddhadeya, it's possible. You can't limit this transcendental vibration. It can manifest in many, many ways. So the best thing is to yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. So the guru prasad is mercy comes in following his teachings. This is how we get the mercy. He gives teachings and we follow them. And you have questions, it's best to, the one who's giving you teachings, the one who's recommending you do this, then you discuss with him what to do. But I see that things kind of fall. If I look back at my own 40 years of this lifetime practicing, I see that everything kind of falls. It just goes organically, it grows. Like a tree just grows. It doesn't do much analyzation, it just kind of grows. A little sprout, and then a trunk, and then it gets thicker, and then bark, and then branches and leaves. So the bhakti is like a tree, it's growing. So if we're sincere about, we sincerely practice at wherever we are at this level, we be as sincere as we can, and hankering and whatever. And then Krishna and Guru will carry us along to the next stage. Then there'll be certain practices we do at that stage. Like when we join, like you think of where you are now, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, it wasn't the same when you joined. Obviously, I would hope so. When you joined it, you know, when maybe you did, because you were so absorbed in last life, you just immediately had all that rush back to you in this life. But generally, when we join, we're not, most of us aren't totally into siddhadeya and what is that? I'm a very slow person. I didn't really find out about any of these things till I was initiated in 75. It wasn't until like 83, 84. A long time I became to even know. 83, 84, I came to know some of these ideas. And by 85, 86, I know all kinds of things about all these things, and many, many books came in my hands from different sources. I read them all. But what I see is myself is just Krishna's helping all the way. And he helps everybody all the way. We move along, we move forward, wherever we are. It's not that everyone just says lets everyone jump into the soup at the same time. You know, I think time element is an important factor. We're not all one. And if you have intense natural ruchi and taste and greed, you know, nothing's going to stop. You'll be reading all these books, and you'll be thinking, well, you know, I'm a mandri, my name is like this, and I look like this, and now I'm thinking of Radharani. You'll just be there. You won't have time to talk about, or is it right, is it wrong? But what you're doing, it's all Shastra. You're reading this book, and they say you should think like that, so I'm thinking like this. Oh, my guru doesn't know, but I can't stop myself. Maybe he knows. Okay? He knows everything, but he hasn't told me to stop, and I'm not telling anybody this is my private. This is your ruchi, because if you look around you, it's very, very difficult and hard to find someone that has the same interest or taste and deepness that you may have. Very rare. Don't expect to find equals in this. On the platform of bhajan. When you join in a temple, we're all equal and all this and that, whatever. But when terms of consciousness development or bhajan or bhakti, all this is very individual. And it's a result of many lifetimes for many of us. Many lifetimes we've been practicing, or few, or one, or just started. So it's a lot of variety within any group. So that's why Narottama says we should be secret. We should keep our bhajan practice is secret. It's not really anybody's business. Someone might come up. Oftentimes, we just act like newspaper reporters. We come and say, "Oh, how are you? How are you doing? You're my old friend from New York." So, what's your bhajan? What are you doing? And what's it to you? Isn't that what? And how will my bhajan? What does it have to do with you? You know, there's nothing. There's no similarity at all between you and me or any of us. Absolutely nothing. Except we have neck beads. You know, these are external things. All external things we're together on. But the internal position of bhakti and heart is much different. So the birds of a feather flock together. So there's water seeks its own level. So when your consciousness rises to a certain level, when your practices rise to a certain level, and your bhakti rises to a certain level, all of a sudden you find access to a whole group of different group of devotees. It's kind of like there's a vat of water, and you forcefully put some oil in that water, and you force it to the bottom, some drops of oil. You put an oil dropper underneath 2 liters of water, and then you put out, squeeze it, and it all comes out. What's going to happen to the oil? The oil drop is going to rise through the water and sit on the top of the water, because oil... the surface tension of oil is greater than water. You know, oil floats on water. Everyone knows. You know that, yes? There's a principle. It's called surface tension. So as, you know, there's a whole, all the water represents all the devotees. But different devotees, as they advance, according to their year, you know, previous lives and this life, whatever, they'll be that, like that oil drop, they'll rise to the top of the water. They're one with the water. They're one with everybody, but they're also different. And maybe they become the gurus, or maybe they're the siddhas, or they're the advanced devotees, whoever they may be. So we should have faith that any bhakti process is going to bring us to perfection if we do it right. Just the Bhagavatam, if we do it right, and we surrender to it, we worship, every day we do puja to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a srupa of Radha and Krishna. If I have Radha and Krishna, I don't have any Ras, I don't have any Siddhadeya, I don't have Vrindavan. I have Vrindavan, I have Ras, I have my Siddhadeya, everything I have in Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam will give you your Siddhadeya. The Bhagavatam will give you mantras. The Bhagavatam will give you everything. The Bhagavatam is Krishna srupa and Radharani srupa. Yeah, it's a fact. You don't need anything more in Bhagavatam. You don't need anything more than Bhagavatam. Everything's in Prabhupada's books. Okay, that's right. But have you become tanmoy and one with all the teachings inside that book? No way. So if you become one with and absolutely surrender to the Srimad Bhagavatam, I guarantee you'll get everything. Prem, your name, your form, everything. That's the power of Bhagavatam. If you sit down this chant your head off day and night, you'll do it for 1 year, you'll do it for 2 years, then you'll flip out and stop doing it. But do it every single day, day and night, chant the holy name. You'll get perfection. Rupa Goswami is telling. Isn't it? But we're like jack of all trades, master of none. They have a phrase, he's a jack of all trades, but it means, jack means a wala or whatever, mystery. He can do everything, so many things, but he can't do any one thing great. So the main thing is we should do bhajan as best as possible. Find some form of bhajan that we like. Usually everyone's coming around with beating a drum. Nam Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan. That's great. But for some others, maybe that's not the path to perfection. Maybe some Nam Sankirtan and some one lakh of rounds and some study. But for the masses, okay, Nam Sankirtan. Everyone do Nam Sankirtan. Great. But it's not that everybody... Some followers of Lord Chaitanya, they specialize in Nam. Some specialize in Smaran. Many only chanted 1 lakh. Many chanted 5 lakhs. Some chanted 3 lakhs. Some chanted 2 lakhs. They're vairagis and are even married, some of them, most of them. But they did so much Bhagavatam study or so much but they all were attained their perfection. I think that's it, or over time. Thank you. Very happy to meet so many devotees, and maybe next week we can get together again. One chick over to this joke.